All right. We'll have a bit of silence, then we'll start the goddamn show, Ian. Slurping on your drink does not count as silence.
Everybody, welcome to Sneaky Dragon. I'm Ian Boothby.
And I'm David Dedrick.
And last week we said it was episode 264.
We did say that.
But it was actually 263.
It was actually 265.
So technically I should host this one. Could we alternate?
Yeah.
And I should host this one. But yeah. I can't because I've hosted already.
Yeah.
And you can't because it's not right for you.
That's true.
So we brought in an extra person.
Brought in
and she will actually host this episode.
Okay, great.
Technically.
Okay.
And so that way, legally, everything is still on the ball.
I like it.
Okay, so she gets power of attorney from both of us.
Ooh, boy.
For the show.
Okay.
Only
over the show.
Okay. Things.
I thought it was.
So please welcome your host for this week, Nina Matsumoto.
Hi, Nina.
Hey, I'm Nina Matsumoto. I'll be your host.
Okay. All right. Get the show rolling.
Get the show rolling. Yeah, go. Please. Yeah. Yeah.
And we're off.
So Nina.
Okay. Yes. Thanks for joining me today, guys.
Oh, thanks for having us on the show. We really appreciate it.
This is actually probably the best opening we've ever had. If you've ever listened to the show, and God help us, of course you haven't, it always starts like a garbage dump, so it's fine. Now let's just set the stage of like how we're all doing right now. Dave, have you got a horrible cold or flu?
No, I don't have a horrible cold or flu.
I don't either.
Did you ask me about my seeping leg wound?
Well, I saw your bumper sticker that said, ask me about my seeping leg wound.
Yeah,
but I'll get to that in a second.
Herbal magic.
Nina, do you have a terrible cold? Or?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, is it cold or flu? What is it?
It's a cold.
It's a cold?
I don't think I've ever had the flu, honestly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Bragging.
That's right. Humble brag.
That's right.
Yeah, I've not only do I have a cold, I'm also jet lagged because I came back from Japan 2 days ago. And so Dave was like, hey, want to go on the show? Want to be recorded?
Yeah, you seem vulnerable.
Yeah.
why don't you not be able to say no right now?
Wait, no, last time I came here wasn't too long ago. It was the day after the U.S. elections.
Yeah.
And now I'm being dragged out here when I'm jet lagged and have a cold.
Yeah.
It's, you know, to kicking me while I'm down.
Well, we all felt a little jet lagged and sick after that, too. So it's like, you know, it's keeping up with the theme.
Yeah.
But let me just go for a second. Dave, what's going on with your seeping leg wound?
Well, I don't know if you remember last week.
I
don't need to be treating this.
Well, it's wintertime. Everybody gets seeping leg wounds.
That's right.
At this time of year.
It's the time of the season. That's why people have to take their stockings off hang them from the fireplace.
That's right.
Because they just soak in their seeping leg wounds
then
otherwise.
Then they go to bed and they have sleeping leg wounds. I think I mentioned last week that I walked into a metal thing at work and bashed my leg into it. What I didn't say on the show was that it happened that day. I hadn't treated it at all. My treatment was to leave my sock on to act as a bandage, which it did successfully through the day. And what was good was it was still bleeding at night. So my sock wasn't stuck to it later on. Like, so the blood had not.
Even though you're in Canada and we have free health care.
Well, you know. So
we can't get into that again. We got into that last week.
All right. Sorry, I didn't finish listening to the latest episode.
I know. No one ever does.
I just came back from Japan.
I listened to it on the plane.
I went to bed that night, and then in the morning I got up and said to Lisa, I hurt my leg yesterday. Would you mind looking at it? And she said, when she looked at it, she said, oh, you stupid idiot. Why didn't you do something about this?
Yep.
But anyway,
yep,
so.
That's right. So the bed is now a waterbed, but made of blood.
She wrapped it. I went to work.
Yeah.
And then
you went to work.
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't go to the doctor.
No. And the next day.
Good stuff. Okay.
The next day.
Oh my God. The next day.
It was a little more pain. It was in more pain. I thought, well, this is odd. It should be less pain. Because your cuts should be like, start there, right? And then it should be a downward, like an even downward line, right? Going straight down. So I was like, why is it hurting more? Oh, that's weird. So then I said, would you mind like changing the bandage? And so she did, just so she could shake her head again. And then she said, you know what? This is super deep. I think you should go to the emergency.
Yeah.
So then I said, oh, okay. So then I went to emergency, and then they looked at it and they said, you idiot. why didn't you come in on Thursday? We would have put stitches in it for you. Now it's too late. So now you're just going to have this wound.
You're going to have to amputate it.
It's going
to... So you got to amputate it. And you said, no, don't the treatment afterwards. That's okay.
That's right.
I'll just put a sock on it.
Just put a sock on
it. And that's why you have the seeping leg wound.
So yeah, it just seeps into my sock. No, so I have a dressing on it, but it's just going to take a while for it to close up and heal.
But they can't stitch it like later
They
on.
Can't stitch it after because
so
then you
have
get
a big scar?
Who knows? It's down. It's down.
Well, anything that like gets stitches, yeah, would be make a scar, right? Right.
Well, I didn't get stitches, so it should be fine then.
Oh, that's exactly how that works.
Here's the thing, though. It's down at the bottom of my body where I don't really look, so it's fine.
Oh yeah, your head is very far from the bottom of your body.
Exactly.
Well, you know, snitches get stitches. That's right. He is not a snitch.
I'm no snitch. It's
that's what they say. There's a special place in the emergency. Right. You know. All right, what's going on? I got a wound. Hey, are you a snitch?
Yeah.
All right, right in, sir. Yeah. Right away.
Then, in the children's ward, it says snitches get stitches.
Okay, listen. I know you're bleeding out, and we've let you have that sleeping wound one, but you've got two strikes now,
it's not
buddy.
Stopping.
That's two strikes.
It's going to keep on coming.
Of course,
coming.
I'm not the host of the show.
That's right. It's up to Nina to reprimand.
Okay, so how are you now? What's on? It's just a dressing?
Yeah,
it's are you on antibiotics or something infection?
No.
A cream? Something on there?
Oh, there's some polysporin.
Okay.
Yeah. I highly recommend that for all wounds.
Okay, and also
particularly seeping leg wounds.
Yeah, get things treated when they happen.
Well,
you're an episode. Sorry, Nina.
You know what? I had to do the show though. I had to do the show.
Look, how many episodes of Emergency have you seen? All of them.
All
okay.
Of them.
And here's the thing: what if there was an emergency episode and a guy went, "Oh, I'm going to leave this for 3 days." He would be the example where the guy would die on the table, and we'd all learn: don't let seeping wounds lie. Right. Right?
Okay.
And you'd also
Say snitches get stitches, but you can say sleeping wounds lie.
No, seeping.
Oh, seeping wounds lie.
Yeah. That's even better.
That was even better than mine.
Get another play on sleeping and seeping.
Yeah, you're right. The host is right. That's fair. So before we get into what Japan is like.
Wait, one more thing before we go on.
All right.
The reason.
Check this mole.
No, it's just what are you guys looking at this?
It's on the bottom of my body.
Should I have three holes here? The
if we want a bowl with you, yes.
I have a lot of leg wounds. The reason that Nina and I met up was because it was a gift exchange. Nina was kind enough to bring back gifts from Japan for us.
Okay.
So she gave me a gift, and then she gave me your gift.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were chatting, and then I said, "Hey, do you want to come on the show?" Because I said, "What are you doing today?" She said, "Nothing." So I was like, "This is the perfect opportunity."
Yeah, except sleeping.
To get
jet lag. Asked, "Well, what are you doing today?" And I said, "Probably laying in bed all day because I have a cold and I have jet lag, and I want to rest."
And then when you woke up, you were in the car en route.
But I said, "That's right."
And then I blacked out, next thing I know, I'm here.
What's so suspicious about that? You did agree to come.
Yeah,
on the
you
show.
Went over, exchanged gifts, said, "Check out my leg wound. Does this look right to you?" And Nina went, "You fool."
She fainted from the sight of it.
No, he showed me his leg. I looked down, and then he clocked me on the head.
It's that old trick.
Yeah. And she has a seeping head wound.
But with a comedy mallet, so it's not weird.
It's fine.
It made a funny noise.
That's right.
That's right. Kaboing! Like, that's okay.
There were stars above my head, so yeah, that makes it okay.
It's funny. It's funny.
It's funny violence.
It's
okay. Fine.
If you get a laugh out of it.
If it's, so sound effect plus time equals comedy.
So let's just go with the idea that there's a present for me I haven't seen yet.
Yeah.
All right, what's going on?
Yeah, where's this gift?
I haven't seen it, yeah.
Where's this gift? What's going on?
It's in a plastic bag.
Yeah.
It's the bag from Japan.
Yes, it is.
Japanese plastic bag.
Here you go.
Okay.
So did this come from
a vending machine?
Oh, man. What kind of vending machine would that be if this
I don't know.
Giant
yeah,
thing
weird.
Came out of it?
So should I just reach in, or how do I go about this?
Sure.
Pull out the first thing.
As host of the show,
oh my God.
Nina,
okay.
Of course, should be
all
describing
right.
what
this
we're
is,
seeing
oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Okay.
It's a Naoki Urasawa tote bag.
Tote bag. This is amazing.
Oh,
it's gorgeous.
Can I look at that?
Now, you actually put this bag on your Twitter feed, right? Like this image? Or was this, where did I, because I've seen this
image.
Oh,
the image is like what he drew for the exhibit, the Naoki Urasawa exhibit that
right.
I went to
in
Japan.
In Japan, okay.
Yeah.
So if you want to see what the image looks like, go on Nina's Twitter feed.
Can I look at it? Can I look at it?
Oh, yeah, please.
Thank you.
Sorry for the
crumpling, everyone.
Yeah.
A little note. Yeah.
All right. Oh my God. Oh my God. Okay. 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 And it looks like this was. Yeah. You showed this book on Twitter, and I was like,
yeah.
God damn it, we gotta go to Japan to get it. And it's the Man Ben book, which is. This is a collection of his work from the exhibit, or is it
just
his work?
A
general
collection of his. Yeah. It's a general
oh
art
my
book.
God.
Naoki Urasawa art book.
Oh. Okay. Well, you're gonna make my wife stay, and you've made my day.
All right.
Well, that's beautiful. Yeah.
Thank
yeah.
you kindly. Appreciate.
Yeah. No
oh,
problem.
Right. You've got filthy
high
hands.
Fives
I high-five you, and you're so full of
now
disease.
You're infected.
Oh, this is gorgeous.
Yeah, what's cool about it is it doesn't just show art from his comics. It's like bunch of other illustrations. And yeah, that's what he drew when he was like 13 or 14 years old. God. And it's amazing.
It's like a mini comic in the middle of it. Mm-hmm. This is so beautiful. All right. So if people want to see what the cover of the book looks like, they can go to your Twitter. What is your Twitter again?
Space Coyote. So that's Space Coyote, except the last letter isn't an E, it's an L.
Spelling error.
So great.
And that's just the flyer from the show.
The flyer from the show. Yes.
Nice.
Oh, that's my
nice.
Gosh. This is beautiful. Hey, thank you so much. This is best Christmas ever.
I'm glad that you wanted that book.
Yes. Yeah, secretly, when I saw the book, I was like, oh, that book looks so good.
Yeah, it was actually for you.
Yay. Nice. Thank you very much. That no made problem. My day. Thank you.
Does Man Ben mean something?
Yeah, Man is as in manga, and Ben as in Benkyo, which means study.
Oh, okay.
So it's like manga study.
I see.
Yeah. Cool.
Because we've talked many times on the show about the
documentary series
called Man Ben that he hosts.
Yeah.
Where, you know, he shows a manga artist doing the manga thing.
But until this time, I never thought to ask Nina if it had a meaning or is just a name. But...
Well, it's probably in the subtitles.
I don't think they ever...
they don't explain it?
They don't explain it, no. It's just kind of there, so yeah.
That's strange. But yeah, that's what it means. Mm. And yeah, I went to his exhibit in Osaka, which is cool because he had an exhibit in Tokyo earlier this year. And I was like, oh, I wish I could go, but I can't. And then I was in Japan for this book signing that I talked about in the last show. And then I found out that right when I'm in there, like, it started November 25th, and it's ongoing till end of January. I'm like, I'm going to be there in that time. So I made a special trip to Osaka just to see that, and it was so cool. I went in there and there was like nobody else there because it was like a Monday afternoon. It was just me and like two or three other people. So it just felt like
I
could look at anything I wanted for as long as I wanted, you know?
Fantastic.
It was just entire walls with his original pages pinned up. It was crazy. And it wouldn't just be like a few pages here and there. It'd be like a few chapters.
Wow.
It's all pinned up there and it's all the original pages.
From different series? So like some from 20th Century Boys, some from Monster?
Yeah, there's I posted some pictures on my Twitter, like you're not supposed to take photos in there, but I took like long shots just to show people what things have it look like.
Yeah.
It would be like a giant wall for just Monster, one for just Pluto, one for just 20th Century Boys. There was like his original colored works, like in glass cases.
Mm-hmm.
And it also showed a bunch of the manga he drew when he was a little boy too, which is really cool to see because he was an amazing artist back then too.
Yeah.
I mean, you'll see in the Manben book, there's examples of his work when he was a little kid. But yeah, and then there was like a little area there's like a guest book area so you could like write messages to him, you know? So of course I left a message, a little drawing, and I didn't post it because it's kind of embarrassing.
Well, that's fine. Yeah.
This was just like, oh, I came here from Canada and you're my favorite artist and blah, blah. And I was looking through the book and it was mostly like people from Japan. If they were from somewhere else, it'd be like from a nearby country like Korea or Taiwan. But yeah, it seems like they don't get that many foreigners visiting.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I don't think most people even know about the exhibit.
Well, I think...
Because how else would you know, really?
Well,
you'd have to be really into him.
That's the thing. It's kind of like you're a subset of a subset who happens to have the opportunity to go to Japan. So it's a pretty small group of people that... I'm very jealous.
Since he also, he's a big fan of American music. He loves like Bob Dylan and the Beatles and such. And he likes to perform his own, write his own songs and perform them as well. And so he had they had his CDs as well. And he signed like 100 of them. And I thought they'd be all gone by the time I got there. But no, there were a bunch left. So I got like a signed CD of his.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I guess no one likes him in Osaka.
Bunch of dum-dums there.
Although the Osaka exhibit was even bigger than the Tokyo one.
They're trying to draw out these guys, but they just will not budge.
Speaking of Beatles, he did a nice Beatles comic once about them doing a concert, but as the ages they'd be now.
Yeah.
I was telling David about that on the way here. It was
have
a
you read that?
Comic.
Have you seen it? It's online.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll have to look
it
up.
I think I've actually put it on our Facebook page, but you never check out our Facebook page.
Yeah, it's about if the Beatles were all still alive today, if they got together, like what would it be like?
It's really touching.
And I really wanted that copy too, because it was just like a free thing you pick up at HMV or Tower Records in certain stores. And I asked my friend who lives in Japan to pick them up for me, but she couldn't find any because I guess they're all gone in an instant, I'm guessing.
It's also
if it's free.
It's a bad friend.
Yeah, she failed.
Yeah.
We're not friends anymore.
That tells you what a great country Japan is at supporting things, is that there's still a Tower Records. That's the only Tower Records that is left is the one in Japan.
It's not just one. Isn't there many Tower Records in Japan?
Oh, that's right, because they're a chain, a separate chain from the one that was here. That's right.
Okay, so I don't know much about Tower Records. I always thought it was a Japanese chain because it's
not
prevalent there.
It's What it was, it started here.
I just got to say this bit as well before you get into that.
Yeah.
There's a Netflix documentary we talked about a little bit on the show.
Is it on Netflix now?
It is on Netflix now about Tower Records. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to remember what it was.
All Things Must Pass.
There you go. All Things Must Pass.
Directed by Colin Hanks. Of it. Tom Hanks.
I fell asleep after the first third. But anyway, back to David and...
That's right. Because what happened was when he actually had investors from Japan and they started a separate chain that wasn't connected to the North American one. So when that one sank and went under, the Japanese were fine. So yeah, there's still Tower Records.
It's interesting. It's kind of like how Yahoo is still really popular in Japan.
Hmm.
Yeah, not as a search engine, but like everything else. Yahoo mobile.
Well, it's weird.
Yahoo auctions.
Yeah, but I mean, like I was saying, like the other show, like Tumblr is a Yahoo owned site. So Yahoo's still popular. Is this popular in a different form?
You just got to change your name.
To Tumblr.
And it's like how 7-Eleven is like way bigger in Japan than it is here.
What is, right?
7-Eleven.
It can't be bigger than it is here.
It is. It's everywhere. And there's like 7-Eleven banking.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
All right. Let me throw this trivia thing towards Nina and see if she knows this.
Okay.
Why is it called 7-Eleven?
Was it open from 7 to 11?
That's correct. Yeah.
Okay.
It used to be open from 7 in the morning till 11 at night. And people thought, that's crazy. Who needs a store at 11 at night? Then, everybody. Okay. All right. That's why. Then it went to 24
I actually
hours.
Have this manga that's been translated and released in English. It's about how 7-Eleven came to Japan, basically.
Oh, really?
Like the whole concept of a convenience store like that. Like convenience stores are, there's a huge culture of that in Japan right now. Like it's everywhere, you know, and they are super convenient, like way more than ones here because they're everywhere and it's like really cheap and they have all sorts of things. But anyway, it's all about the guy who came to America and saw 7-Eleven and he's like, this is a really good concept. And he took it back to Japan and it just spread from there like wildfire. And actually, what I found really interesting was, you know how in stores like that, well, I guess most stores now, things are stocked from behind in like the fridges?
Yeah.
Well, that's because like he wanted to bring out the concept of the convenience store to Japan, but, you know, buildings in Japan are very, very small because everything's so cramped there. And so he was like, if we stock things from the front, it would just like get in people's way. So what if we made it so you could stock things from behind? So that concept was born in Japan.
Okay.
Having a small back room behind the fridge and stocking things from behind.
Interesting.
Yeah, I thought that was neat.
That's always creepy.
Because they do that in grocery stores now.
Yeah, it's creepy when it's late at night and you see the hand coming to put that's putting a Coke in there and you don't know there's someone actually in the fridge.
There's always someone in the fridge.
I know, there's always room in the fridge for more. No one back.
But yeah, it was just it was made in Japan out of necessity because otherwise there would be no space for to stock things.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. I bet they have some delicious Slurpee flavors there.
They don't have Slurpee.
What the shit?
What's the point of even having it?
Oh, yeah, because you can't put tapioca fucking bubbles in it or whatever.
I don't even want to know about it. If they don't have Slurpees, I don't care.
Yeah. I found out bubble tea, the those tapioca things, that's the antidote. Otherwise, it's deadly poison if you don't eat those bits.
I pretty much don't go into 7-Eleven unless it involves buying a Slurpee.
I don't know. Like Slurpees,
there's no point.
Stuff like that just isn't popular in Japan.
But they're wrong.
I think there was one...
I thought they supported Western culture.
Not all of it.
Ugh. They're fired.
There's no way of sticking a hard marble into the Slurpee.
They're losing their status as the gatekeepers of Western culture.
In Harajuku, there was one 7-Eleven that had a Slurpee machine, but it's gone now.
Really?
Yeah, I saw it like a few years ago when I went, but it's gone now. And
people, I guess, they don't like cold drinks? Is that what it is? Or?
No, they love cold drinks, just not slushy drinks, I guess. I think
too cold.
Stuff like that, the icy, like icy slush, they'd rather eat it like shaved ice. And not drink it out of a cup.
It is a weird concept. If you're not used to it, it is weird to drink something like that.
I guess, but it's weird. Like when I was a kid, as soon as I heard about a Slurpee, there was nothing I wanted to try more than a Slurpee. As soon as I heard that this thing existed.
But we didn't have 7-Elevens.
We did.
When? When did 7-Eleven show up here?
Well, I don't know, but I remember walking as a child going, I purposefully.
Not in America, but in Canada.
In Canada, yeah.
Oh, because we didn't have them back east.
Okay, that's
maybe
what it
is. We had you get access to an icy or something.
Yeah. So I actually went, I feigned interest in my brother's soccer game so that I could get driven near to where the 7-Eleven was. And then while the game was happening, my mom was distracted. I walked up the street, a couple of blocks up the road. This is like near schoolhouse in Coquitlam.
Oh, yeah.
I walked up, which is the road that Nina lives on.
Right.
I walked up the road and went to 7-Eleven, bought a, I had to buy like a famous, they didn't have like the cups they have now. They could only buy them in like the famous Monsters cups.
Oh, the 7-Eleven brunette?
Maybe. Street? Maybe.
Because there's this field right nearby.
Yeah, probably.
Oh,
yeah,
okay. Yeah. The one next to the Hell's Angels.
I don't know. I was a kid. I didn't care.
There's
where
a Hell's
was.
Angels club next to it.
All I'm saying is, if you're driving her home afterwards, stop off at that 7-Eleven. Yeah, she has some memories.
Yeah, she has some. So yeah, I had to
see some Hell's Angels.
So I had to get this cup. So I had like a Frankenstein Famous Monsters cup. Ah. Drank my Slurpee, but I had to throw the cup away. Otherwise, my mom would have known that I went and got a Slurpee.
Oh.
So you wouldn't have been allowed to have
it
otherwise?
No, that's garbage.
Oh.
Because you would only drink healthy things like water and milk?
Water, milk, and pop. Yeah.
Pick a pop. It's just frozen pop.
I know, but you know how people are. Oh, new things are terrible. Old things are good.
Well, Slurpee is just pop with some ice in
it. Less than pop.
I didn't have a Slurpee till
it is
I
less
was
pop, yeah.
Till I was like 15, I think. 15 years old.
So it was really that unusual back then? Or not well known?
Yeah, we didn't really have the 7-Elevens around. Like and that one was in New Westminster, and it was only we would stop on the way when I was going to do a play rehearsal, and me and my dad would go in and we'd get a Slurpee, and they'd have like the Pac-Man machine. I'd play the Pac-Man machine and I'd get the Slurpee and then drink the Slurpee.
Imagine you being all like hyperactive from drinking too many Slurpees and you're playing Pac-Man really fast.
Yeah.
Like, what's his name? Quicksilver?
That's right. Oh, okay. There's so many Quicksilver issues. Anyway, whenever I see, okay. So has he rigged the machine to be super fast as well?
I don't know. That part bugged me too.
Also, how are you playing a song in your Walkman as fast enough for you to hear it at the incredible speed that you're going? You know,
he has a special sped up version that he made just for doing
right,
that.
Right, but what's it made of? He's
or
not
maybe,
rich.
Maybe he.
Why didn't he have this technology?
Yeah, but then you'd have to explain why his clothes don't fly off. You
special
know, like
clothes like the Flash wears.
Like, I think maybe he just has like within his little orbit. There's like a safe area where time is travels normally.
Oh,
like,
because
he's speeding up.
Oh.
And he's not aging any faster, even though he's traveling it faster than...
Oh, you're saying that Quicksilver might get old?
Yeah.
Ah, if he, like, turns on the old speed.
There might be a...
Well, he wouldn't get old, but time around him would go... Like, he would have some sort of time displacement, right, if he was going that fast. Doesn't that make sense?
Might be a J.N. Miles Explains the X-Men episode about this. Possibly.
That's you a know? Podcast?
Yeah. You know, okay. J.N. Miles Explain the X-Men?
No.
Oh, okay.
How could I not know that?
Oh.
I don't know. I don't
well,
really
know
much
the
about
Flash,
the X-Men.
The Flash has an aura around him that is a frictionless aura.
Yeah.
But I don't know about this age situation. That's interesting.
Well, he does have gray hair.
He does. Maybe he was like very young looking before. Both of them have gray hair.
Okay, are we talking about the Flash, the TV show?
Oh, no, we were just talking about Quicksilver just then.
Oh, sorry, Quicksilver.
Then there's two Quicksilvers. So there's the Avengers 2 Quicksilver, and then there's the X-Men Quicksilver.
Yes, there's the bad Quicksilver and the good Quicksilver.
And the X-Men's Quicksilver is the one whose superpower is to make every other part of the movie not look good.
Yes, that's about
it.
It's
like, why doesn't he do his things more?
I know. I have not seen X-Men Apocalypse, whatever it's called.
But you've seen the scene?
I haven't seen the scene either.
Oh.
I'm waiting
for
it.
Just watch the scene.
I'm waiting for it to come out.
Yeah, watch it on YouTube.
And then I'll just
watch the scene.
No, I don't want to watch it on YouTube. That's terrible.
The scene is great.
I'll watch it in a proper way to watch. You watch things.
Because it's the only part of the movie where the guy does something, or anyone of the heroes does something heroic.
And just fun. Like, and has fun doing
fun,
it.
Fun.
Yeah.
Saves people. Yeah. You have a good time. Mm-hmm. And the rest of it is gloom. Gloom. Doom. Oh, I hope Jean doesn't become the Phoenix again. Oh, fuck. All right. She's going to...
Oh, yeah. I watched the Killing Joke movie.
Oh, really?
You guys haven't seen that, right?
My condolences.
No. Okay, what's your feelings on that?
I've read the book once.
It was terrible.
Yeah? Okay.
It was bad.
Was the new shit, did it make it worse?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. They didn't need all that stuff, and it just felt wrong.
So what was added to it?
Oh, just all the stuff with Batgirl at the beginning
so they,
and the end.
They fleshed out Batgirl's character, or just added a lot more
well,
I
guess you could say that.
Batgirl's character. She has sex with Batman.
Oh.
And then Batman goes, you're not really all that good at what you do. Ugh. And she goes, okay, well, that's good gaslighting. I'm out of here.
It's terrible because...
I'll quit. And then she
I guess
gets
people,
shot.
Is it okay if I talk about
yeah, yeah,
the
go.
Scene?
Spoil,
yeah, of course.
Spoil the shit out of it.
It was really dumb. Like for him to do that to begin with is totally out of character, right?
But yeah.
Like after...
he's not a playa.
After they like fight crime or whatever, and then I guess he doesn't let her do things the way she wants, and she gets frustrated, and they're just fighting on top of a rooftop. I think they do actually like it's been also to watch it, but they do like actual physical fighting, and then they're arguing, and it's one of those things where first they're fighting, and then all of a sudden they're kissing.
Yeah.
And then she goes on top of him, and like she takes her shirt off, and then it cuts away. But
she's got her bat bra on.
It is. It's yellow.
She does have the bra on, yeah. And you're like, it should be like metal or something. It should be bulletproof or
it should
something.
Be a sports bra, at
should
least.
It should be at least a sports bra.
Yeah,
wearing a
that makes
fancy,
more sense.
Delicate fucking bra.
It's a lacy
bat
bra.
And then the camera pans up. So you don't get the brown chicken, brown cow.
And then he doesn't like return her calls or whatever. She's like, why aren't you returning my calls?
Wow.
Yeah, and she's got a gay best friend who's just like, girlfriend.
You oh, God, better. Yeah, I forgot about him.
Sister, I'm telling, like, oh, no. Oh, no, we're not. I mean, I know this was written in the 80s, but come on.
But that character that part was wasn't. Not. That character
I know, that,
not
was, that wasn't, I know. Yeah. But if you're, you know, the tone of, ugh, oh, Lord. Oh, Lord.
It just felt so unnecessary. It didn't do anything to help her character. It just made Batman to be like a jerk.
Well, that seems to be the only way they... it's so weird how they don't seem to understand what like
what
a hero,
like
a superhero is supposed to be.
Mm. Well, the whole... I mean, the
it's
whole,
a weird it disconnect, isn't
the
it?
The comic starts with, you know, we're going to be him talking to the Joker. And it's like, we're going to be doing this forever. Our relationship is one of us is going to die. We got to break this vicious cycle. So it's about their relationship. So when you throw another relationship in and then you ditch that relationship because it's not important and make her the victim. And then it goes to the Batman and Joker relationship. It's just like, it looks like almost to me, and again, I haven't seen the film, but it looks like they've like, okay, Batman's broken up with Barbara.
Yeah.
Cause he's gotten whatever he wants from her. Mm-hmm. And now, now it's about his new relationship with the Joker. And it's weird. It throws
it
that
is. It's,
beat
it's
onto
like
it.
Him and the Joker have a deeper relationship than him and
because he and the Joker can laugh at a joke. And he and Barbara are like, ugh, she doesn't get it.
Yeah,
she
by the end of the movie,
this guy gets it.
They're laughing at a joke together in the end. They're acting like they're buddies.
Yeah. I really hate that in the book. So I
well,
imagine the
and,
film
and
is,
everyone's got their own ending of how that goes. It's because there's a bit of it that looks like he's choking the Joker. Like you take it that way because the laughter mm-hmm. stops. It's like, oh, he's laughing, and then it kills him because, you know, what are you gonna do?
But not in the movie though. It doesn't just
yeah,
like,
that's
stop.
The thing. So they don't even do the, you know, a vague you know.
Yeah, they don't have the ambiguous ending.
But then they have the tag in the movie though, where she becomes Oracle. Do they do that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck that. But that's what shit to do.
Yeah, that's yeah.
Yeah, it's like you're just trying to save it, man, and you can't save it. The
it
thing is
super tacked on.
But it's not really saving it though, is it? It's more of a next time on Batman animated character.
Batman Batgirl, the animated character?
Batgirl becomes Oracle. You know what I mean? Like it's
yeah.
Like no one can end a movie now. It's like but watching the end the stupid end of Avengers the Civil War or Iron Man or no, what is it? Captain America Civil War.
Yeah.
Where the movie has a natural ending. But because of the nature of these TV shows, it has to tack on this horrible long, you know, what is it called?
Teaser?
No.
Epilogue?
Denouement? Is that what it is? No, that's not what it is. Is that what it is? Denouement?
Denouement is something.
Denouement. Yeah, that's right. That's what I'm looking for. Yeah, denouement. So where it just has this long kind of slowly.
Are you talking
slowly
what's over the credits? Or the
no,
actual,
no. I'm just talking about the whole stuff where the whole Tony Stank sequence and all that garbage that's
okay.
added on to
Tony
the end of the film.
Tony Stank sequence is pretty rough.
Because, yeah. But they need that there because they want to introduce the next film at the end of this movie. So they can't just have the film have a natural conclusion and people walk out and go, well, I guess that's how the story went. They have to go like, well, I can't wait till next time when they go look for some crystals.
Yeah, they're all looking for a lot of crystals.
And they usually hint at another character.
Yeah, Thor
well.
Is Thor is out there and he's Ragnarokking it.
Old school.
Old
well,
school.
Let me ask you this, like, because I haven't seen the film. So
Civil War?
I have seen Civil War many times. Oracle, when she does the reveal that like she's going to be Oracle.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to me, what you've set up in that movie, because, like, she was in love with Batman. Basically, she was Batman's best friend.
Okay.
And, you know, and then they had a fight. Mm. And then she had a horrible accident. Well, that's a supervillain origin. So she should be coming back as Oracle, the villain. That's, to me, like, I know if you read the comics, you go, yeah, she comes back as the hero. It's empowering. And here we go. But if you watch just the movie, it feels like, oh, yeah, she's going to get revenge on Batman. Because this is the guy that jilted her and was an asshole to her and was just laughing with the Joker. And that guy's a sack of shit. And now she's gonna be this. And oh, I guess she's the villain for the next movie. And so you know, that's great.
It's not played out like that at all, though.
Oh, is that right? How do they play it?
Well, like throughout the film, she's really kind of spunky and sassy.
Oh, okay.
And she keeps that personality by the end too. She's just like goes into a dark room and all these computer monitors light up, and she's in a wheelchair, and she's like, "All right, let's do this thing." Well, not that's not what she says, but she has that kind of attitude.
Yeah,
she goes, "Let's roll."
That's right.
She's, so she's not.
She's like
not,
the Power like, Rangers. She's
nothing
got
ominous
attitude.
About it.
Yeah,
basically.
Sorry, just remembering the opening of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, where it's like, bring me some teenagers with attitude. Like, who doesn't have attitude? What? That's weird. Yeah. Okay. So all the monitors light up, and now she's Oracle, and she's gonna fight crime.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So we know. So we know that the next animated episode of animated Batman is going to be something involving Oracle, because we've introduced his character, rather than just having it have a natural ending with Joker and Batman as that story finishing. Mm-hmm. And we have this story arc with these two characters reaching the conclusion of this, you know, antagonism with this ending, whether it's ambiguous or whatever. It has to have this strange thing tacked onto it, so the end of the film isn't that, but it's something different. And it just makes it's really, I would say, one of the biggest, to me, one of the biggest Achilles heels of all these sort of new films now, whether it's Force Awakens or this is an example, or Civil War, where the movie can't just have a natural ending. It has to have this scene that's, it just ends. It just
kind of throws, you know, off the tone too.
And, you know, I mean, I've complained about it in the show before, where we talked about Pirates of the Caribbean 2, where, you know, I just was like, oh, well, they're just talking, let's go to the bathroom, since my daughter had to go to the bathroom, and you're walking away, and you're kind of looking at the screen, and but walking, so you didn't want to, you know, walk into something and hurt your leg. And then you turn around, and the credits are rolling. You're like, they fucking ended a movie on an exposition scene?
I came back from the bathroom, and the credits were rolling.
Yeah.
Well, clearly, there's lots more to come.
And the same thing happens in that stupid what's it called? The Bourne Legacy.
Citizen Kane.
Bourne Legacy. Yes, okay. Stupid Citizen Kane. That movie has no ending. You don't know what happened. Bourne Legacy, where they're on a boat and they have maps and they're drawing lines and they're doing all this stuff. And you're like, oh man, someone's going to get their ass kicked. They're heading somewhere. Something's going to happen. Doon, 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 doon. The credits are rolling. You're like, what the fuck? You can't just end a movie with people on a boat.
He'll be back in the next movie. He's not at all. Okay, well, fuck.
Yeah, the end. Just, you know, it's just a problem with movies now, is that this. Instead of Die Hard was a popular film and became a series of movies because the first film was really good. Not because it ended with John McClane saying, I wonder what'll happen next time when I go to the airport. Like, it doesn't, you know, like, you don't need that.
No, that would have been a good end.
Because the filmmakers banked too much on there being a sequel.
Yeah.
Because they got to make all the money. Yeah, it's more money in a series than there is in a single movie.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
That does make sense.
And I know that with comic book movies, they have tons of material to work from.
But like, you could still
look at all these comics and you're like, look at all this material we got.
That's right.
But it feels like there's a built-in
Snyder, you don't know what to do with it.
But there's a built-in audience.
Let's have them be all assholes. Okay, sounds good.
There's a built-in audience for them. And I mean, Iron Man, for instance, had an ending. The tacked on part was a cutscene in the credits to you know whet the audience's appetite for the next
right which it's actually kind of a terrible ending. Like, you were, I remember at the time being excited by it, but you watch it now.
I haven't seen
and
it for
it's
a while,
okay. It's Nick Fury and he's waiting at Tony Stark's house and he goes, hey, you think you're the only superpowered guy around? Yeah, he is. No one else is superpowered. There isn't anyone else superpowered. Everyone else comes later. He is the only superpowered guy. And even he's not superpowered. He's just got a suit. Mm. What you're saying makes no fucking sense.
But is that
I got to put a team together of all extraordinary individuals. Oh, how many are there? Just you and your suit. Can we have more of your suits so we could put them on other guys and then have a team? Because nothing you're saying makes sense. If he knew about the Hulk and Thor and, you know, there are all these people around. I mean, the only person who's hanging around is Black Widow, apparently, because she's there. But she's just a person who could do a little bit of kung fu. There's no none of that.
Pretty good kung fu.
I'm kind of exhausted by all this stuff, too. And it's come to the point where I'll watch a superhero movie. And, of course, everyone waits for, you know, after credits stuff. It's come to the point where I hope there's nothing after the credits. I hope it just ends after that.
Yeah.
Oh, if only. But that's not the end of Iron Man, right? Like, Iron Man has an ending. Then the credits roll, and then they have that scene somewhere it mixes into the credits.
After the credits.
But, I mean, the film itself didn't stop and him go, gee, I hope someone doesn't come with a giant electric whip, and then the movie ends.
Well, I mean, you look at
it.
Avengers,
it had an actual
first Avengers movie ends.
Yeah,
it's like, you know, there we go, and this is the beginning of the Avengers. Here's the tower.
Sure.
Oh, that's cool. Bump, 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 bump. Wait for the you know, a bonus scene if you want.
Yeah.
Or go home, Nina style. You know, beat the traffic.
All that foot traffic leaving the theater.
I prefer to leave the movie right away.
Yeah, yelling so long, suckers.
But now it's like, oh, I guess I better wait for the end.
Just so everyone knows. There is no extra scene in The Force Awakens. So if you don't feel like watching the entire population of the United States who worked on... Or sorry, Rogue One, yeah. If there's no extra thing, so just leave.
Okay,
I sometimes do leave, and then I just go to YouTube later and watch that scene. Because that scene will be on YouTube.
Someone will film it for you.
Yeah, it's like, that's fine. I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot which one it was. Oh, yeah, it was Batman v Superman.
Well,
and it was just like, I'm fucking done. I'm out.
You're probably so disgusted
by
the film.
I'll watch it later. We'll see. which again had the scene of Bruce talking to Wonder Woman and going like, "We got to find more people like us. There aren't. You just she's the only one. The other one's dead. There's no one. There's two that were different. But you just cloned one and killed. He's dead. And now the other, he's dead. She's just this person. Mm. Although they did see those email files. Oh, well, fuck that. God damn it. Just looking at, they all got their own fucking Tinder pages that they just click on. And like, who made the logos up? Who made the logos for all of these guys?
Yeah, there's some guy whose job is, he's like a superhero, PR, does like, whatever they call that, where you create like a, image for yourself. What is it called?
Profile?
No,
avatar?
Not that. Like an image consultant.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
If I was the Joker, here's what I'd do. I would make up a whole bunch of fake superheroes and just get guys, okay, a bunch of guys dressed up and they have crazy powers and just put them online for Batman to find. And then while he's wasting his time going around the world trying to find these people, rob Gotham City dry.
That'd be funny if he like kidnapped a comics creator just to do that.
Yeah.
That'd be a good scheme.
Unfortunately, he kidnapped Stan Lee in the later years. And it's like Stripperella and just not the really good ones at all. He's just completely out of gas. Like, all right. Oh, yes. Stripperella. Stan Lee, God bless his
so much.
God bless his heart.
So, Nina, you've been in Japan for the last 6 months. So I assume,
that's where I got sick.
I assume you did not see Rogue One.
No, I saw people lining up for Rogue One.
Oh, you saw people lining up?
Yeah. It was either,
you said
they were
not
either
for me,
lining up for that or the live action Yo-Kai Watch movie.
What is that?
Yo-Kai Watch is like this really popular cartoon in Japan right now.
Okay.
It's a lot like Pokemon or Digimon. It's like you collect monsters, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But there's a live action movie that came out a day after Rogue One. So when I saw the lineup, I'm like, it could go either way because Yo-Kai Watch is huge.
Yeah. Huge as a live action thing or huge as
Just as a franchise right now. It's crazy. Okay. I mean, it came over here too, the game.
The game came over here, but doesn't it seem like Japanese movies, and I'm going to say this as an ignoramus because I am, but I like watching Japanese films, but the Japanese films I see are like, did we talk about Onibaba?
I don't think so.
That's not the film that you saw?
About tell samurai? Me what it is.
It's two peasant women who like kind of lure a samurai into a...
Nope, I have not seen that one.
They just had Onibaba and another film on TCM. They have Japanese films every once in a while because they have the Janus Film Collection now, which has a lot of foreign films in it. And so we're seeing all these great films, and I'm thinking, well, I'm seeing like the best of the best of Japanese film, but it's very rare that you... Like, I've never seen 20th Century Boys. I would actually kind of like to see that film.
But I heard it's really bad.
And
I'd still like to see it.
It's a couple of films, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know, I want to see it too, but...
But where do you see those films
based on manga are really bad.
Yeah, I want to see the Bakemon one, and actually the opening to it looks really good. Mm-hmm. There's really nice design work and showing, them going to see Shonen Jump building, and they're walking down a hall, and all this art kind of explodes on the wall. It's really good. It's quite good, but it's a lot of work to watch it. And you're right. Every time they do a manga adaptation, you're like, oh boy.
Actually, the first Death Note movie was pretty good.
Yeah,
that was surprisingly good.
And then they did a bunch more.
They did a second one, and there's another one that was out while I was in Japan. I'm just like, I don't really care at that point.
Were you talking about the spin-off movie with L, like kind of a prequel?
Oh, I guess there was that one too.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's so many things they did with Death Note. And there's going to be an American one now too.
Oh, are they doing an American version? Yeah. Well, finally I can watch it.
With Gary Oldman as the kind of death demon.
Oh, really?
Yep, because he's already got the face.
I was going to say, he looks like him already.
Now let's just put a mask on him like he did in Spider-Man. He's like, no, you look like the guy.
No, it's Willem Dafoe.
Willem Dafoe.
And he's only doing the voice.
Okay.
Oh, so it's going to be a CGI character.
Yeah.
Oh,
which
all right.
Disappointed me. I'm like, oh, yeah, Willem Dafoe. He kind of looks like
a mug.
Demon. Yeah.
Oh, well. There you go.
I know. But yeah, like, I haven't seen Rogue One yet because of that. I'm not in any rush, really.
Really?
It's not like I'm a huge Star Wars fan, even though I flew back in a Star Wars plane.
Yes. No, wait.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay,
yeah,
let's talk about that for a second.
Yeah,
I mean, we're not talking enough about Japan. Let me ask you one little trivia thing about Japan, though, first. Have you seen a movie in Japan? Have you actually gone to a Japanese movie theater?
Yeah.
What snacks do they have there? Is it popcorn?
I don't remember. I don't think I got any snacks. I saw the first Death Note movie in Japan.
Okay.
That was years ago.
All right. I just assumed that the movie theaters are really good. Good picture. They care. Am I wrong?
I mean, they're pretty small because it's Japan.
Then.
So
too bad.
It's small and expensive. I think most people don't really go out to see movies.
I'm a bit disappointed about
that. But rentals are still like big.
Everyone's watching everything on their little phone
and whatnot. You go to Tower Records, there's CD rentals. There's an entire floor just for CD rentals. I'm like, wow.
That's great.
It's a whole other world.
Okay, it so is, you yeah. so you're flying home and
but Cedars are coming back, guys.
Yeah. Yeah, put all your money into it. you heard it here last. So did you book a Star Wars plane?
No.
And go like, get me the Star Wars.
I didn't even know it was a thing. Did you know it was a thing?
Nope.
Apparently it's a thing.
I knew there was a Tintin one.
So did everyone who got on the plane go, the hell?
Yeah, I think so.
What's this about?
Because it was like 9:45 p.m. when we got on, so we couldn't see our plane. We went in, they're playing Star Wars music, like the main themes and all that. I'm like, huh.
I was hoping it was just the cantina music the whole time.
The whole flight.
The whole flight.
Oh my God.
You want to know why we're up high of scum and villainy, buddy? Keep playing this fucking song over
and over.
Everyone's angry.
The headrest napkins or whatever, they're all yes. like they all look like R2-D2.
Okay.
And then the
was the interior
attendant
a different color as well? Like,
no,
were the seats
it's
a different
the same
color?
It's the same.
Oh, same color.
Well, the seats were blue, but they're always blue, I think.
Oh, okay.
And then the stewardesses, I can say this because they don't have male stewards in right. Japanese okay. airlines at all, but they're all wearing R2-D2 aprons. And like, if you got like coffee or tea, it came in little R2-D2 cups.
Nice.
Don't you feel that it's more of a C-3PO thing to be the stewardess?
Oh, but see, but then I got, when we landed and we got off the plane, it was like 1 p.m. Here. And then I looked behind me and I saw the plane we were on. It was looked like R2-D2. So it was an R2-D2
the whole
plane.
Yeah, the whole plane was R2-D2.
And apparently there's like a BB-8 one too.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure what else there is.
That was really...
If they served you milk, it was blue.
Okay. I was going to say that one's really uncomfortable flying because it rolls the whole time.
Yeah, at one point, someone tries to shoot the plane out of the sky.
Yeah.
Just screaming all the time.
Yeah, I'm more into BB-8 myself. So if I'd seen that R2-D2 plane in advance, I would have been like, oh, I want to change flights. Where's my BB-8 plane? This won't do.
This one's going to Germany. That's fine.
I read a Star Wars story that annoyed me. Let me just tell you this.
I just want to say one thing before you go on.
Yeah.
Every Star Wars story annoys you.
Oh, this one bugged me.
Everyone annoys
Here's
you.
Here's the thing. They did one of these. Okay, so it was like about when C-3PO gets shot when he's up in Cloud City, right? And he gets like shot.
Okay,
in pieces.
Pieces.
Okay, and so they did a story in the comics. So it was a Dark Horse comic.
Yeah.
And it was Darth Vader seeing this and him recognizing 3CPO from his childhood, and he goes like, "Ah, destroy him!" But then Chewbacca rescues him from whatever, and that's like in the actual thing.
Yeah.
And then he gets him back, and Darth Vader's looking at him, and he's remembering his childhood again, but it's something this time with his mother. And he's remembering, that like he got C-3PO's body from a dump and built C-3PO from this dump droid that was there, and then did something tender or whatever, and said let him go. It's like, you know, Darth Vader's not that bad, but then he goes and tortures Han or whatever, and it's like, so you're saying that not only the prequels, they did all this with C-3PO, but he had a whole fucking life before this? Like, there was another whole bunch of shit that he went through in his life before he got thrown out as garbage?
Yeah.
And just like, no, man. No. Just no.
Well, I
no,
wonder
I
how
can
old
barely
he is.
Take that he built him from scratch. Don't tell me C-3PO had, like, another fucking chapter that we've got to unlock.
Yeah,
now.
We at least see
Screw
that one.
Screw that. That guy does not have enough depth for that to be a thing.
He could have lived for like decades before all that Star Wars thing happened to him.
Yeah.
And by the time, he becomes like, Darth Vader's an adult, droid technology has not increased at all. Because, you know, this other droids look just like him.
I guess not.
The droid from when he was a kid. It's like, fucking no, technology goes forward.
You know how like today people are like, hey, it's 2016, where are the flying cars?
Yeah.
It's like back then they're like, hey, we're the newer droids.
Yeah, what's this shit? He's still doing that wobbly leg thing.
That's right. Still the British accent.
Yeah, we still made him feel pain.
That's right. Why do they program a British accent in outer space?
I love it. You know what? Governor.
I feel like being colonized. Bring in this robot with a British accent.
Yeah, I speak 10,000 languages. We all speak English. Everyone here speak English? Yeah, except for Jabba. But Jabba understands English, right? Oh, yeah, completely understands English. Does anyone not understand English? No. Then we're all fine, right? We don't need the fucking translation droid at all.
He speaks 10,000 languages.
Who cares?
What he meant was 10,000 regional dialects of English.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He understands British accent.
Hello? Hello?
Okay, without spoiling it, you liked Rogue One?
I liked it quite a bit. I mean, it had some problems, but
okay,
you know,
like
I don't
want to.
I mean, if I complain about it, I will be spoiling it. So
yeah, I don't like the concept behind it, and I think it goes.
Wait,
you didn't like it?
No, I maybe I saw it at the wrong time.
I think you saw it the wrong time.
I think technically it's fine. Technically it's fine, but I'll say just basically here's what it is. It's like
if you don't want any spoilers at all, like any to know anything about the film, then don't.
I'm not
going to
say anything that you don't see in the trailer.
Okay,
let's say this. I'll put that.
And but a lot of stuff in the trailer you don't see in the movie.
Assume you've seen Star Wars. I'm not going to say A New Hope.
What?
Because Star Wars is just was just called Star Wars when
yes,
it came out.
That's how it should be.
So, okay.
It had an ending.
It had a fucking ending. Everyone got a medal except for Chewbacca. He doesn't deserve one because he's another species and they're all racist. Fuck that noise. You don't get one. You're covered in fur. Or maybe it was under his fur. Who knows?
But he got to stand on stage.
But yeah, you go like with that and it's, you know, the old Joseph Campbell, hero's journey, big fairy tale, you know, adventure, go out. And it is, it's a fairy tale, you know, and it's got the cartoonish, you know, pantomime villain and, you know, learning stuff and overcoming fear and big explosions. It's great. And there you go. And you're fun. Yeah. Yay, Star Wars. It's the best. Oh, it's so fun. Let's play it in the backyard.
Yeah.
Okay. You want to see the gritty fucking story of how that all came to be? No, why would you want that leading up to your okay, blood man, blood was spilled, brother. It's the foxholes and the okay.
So that's what Rogue One is about, basically.
Well, it's you know, it's basically like
I've heard that it sets up the first Star Wars
movie. It sets up. That's right. It's the prequel that goes directly before the thing. But it's like when people read a comic. And it's like a Zack Snyderification, it feels like. Especially in that, in Zack Snyder's Man of Steel, you know, it's like, what's that on your chest? The S? Oh, that stands for hope. It's like, well, but there's no hope in your fucking movie, really. There's no hope in your movie. You know, it's just like you took what Superman was and went, but what if it was mature and really dark and you really got like a lot of death and people didn't have any choices? And, you know, it's just the way things are, man. We take all the magic out of it. How about that? That's fine. You can do that if you want. But why not just embrace it and just go, what did you like about Superman that made us make a Superman movie this time? Don't take all that shit away. And with this movie, it's like, yeah, they made a very mature film that's good as what it is, but it's like, is that a Star Wars movie? And should is that, you know, do you need to take all the fun away? It's like,
I think, I don't know, a lot of people still have hang-ups about watching quote-unquote geeky things.
Yeah.
So they have to make it gritty and quote-unquote mature.
Yeah, it's the one you can show your friends and not be embarrassed.
Exactly,
about.
But I don't know, I think it's dumb too.
Yeah, no one's yelling Yahoo. No one's going, ah, this is fun. Yeah, no one's going yippee. No one's having a great time and no one's getting a fucking medal. You know, it's just, yeah. But they did do a couple of things that were nice. And one thing that's in the trailer, you see that there's the Forrest Whitaker character and he's got like a breathing mask. And I did like that because you know, one of the problems with Star Wars is they've got that Dick Tracy thing of if you're in any way disabled, you know, you're a villain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're grotesquely disabled, like if you're missing limbs, like you will be soon because of your infection, you know, missing a leg or
I didn't know you
like
had an
that.
Infection, Nina.
You know, you've got the, you know, Darth Vader has his, you know, breathing thing. And then they had General Grievous who, you know, sounded like he had asthma. And you've now got a character who's got a breathing disorder. Who's, you know, got, you know, he's all right, but he's a good guy. And it's like, that's nice. You know, because if you're a kid who's disabled, who do you relate to in the Star Wars world? No, you're a villain because you're disabled. You know, that's the way that goes. Same with Doctor Who. It's like the one guy in a wheelchair. He's the worst guy in the world.
Yeah, well... Not because he's in a wheelchair, but because he created the Daleks.
That's true, but he's ugly, and he's in a wheelchair.
Well, villains are ugly, and that's Michael Fassbender. And he's in a wheelchair because he wants to be a Dalek.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that he's... I think he's disabled himself, not that he's disabled.
Right.
But, yeah. I can see your point. In my opinion, I'm going to go a little bit into the film, everyone.
Okay.
The Forrest Whitaker character did not need to exist. He has nothing to do in the movie, and he does nothing in the film. And you could take him out of the movie and not change anything in the film at all.
Oh, man. I really want to get into this with you. Because there's actually something about that. Okay.
But, and I don't want, you can't say
okay,
because in the novelization of the film, that or the novelization, of, you know, or in the novel series, or because in the Clone Wars, he does da-da-da. That doesn't exist for me. So I'm walking into the film, and he has to exist in that film, if you know what I mean, right? I can't bring backstory to his character because there's no backstory that I know of. And so what he is in that movie is meaningless. He's sort of a boogeyman, and then he does nothing.
Oh, he does, though. He does do something that's incredibly important that kind of changes everything. Oh, God damn it.
Okay, we'll talk about it later.
You know what? How about this? When we're getting to the very end of the podcast, yeah. We go like we got 10 minutes left or some such. Go like, hey, everybody, if you don't want any spoilers, we'll do that.
Okay.
And we'll do that. And I know, Nina, there'll be one thing real quick, and I'm sorry about that. But yeah, okay.
It's not going to spoil the whole film for you. I don't think if Ian tells you this one part. So we won't talk about it anymore because we obviously have... I mean, I just want to say I did enjoy it. I enjoyed it as a film.
Okay.
You know, and I'm going to separate it from Star Wars.
Yep.
That's its own thing.
I'm fine with it.
And, you know, like Star Wars, the movie Star Wars, I liked that film because I saw it when I was grade five. So I saw it when I was 10 years old, 11 years old, whatever age you are. I have no idea what age I was. But... you know, that was the sweet spot for seeing a movie like that movie.
Right.
And so that movie was super enjoyable to me because it is a fun thrill ride of a film with lots of fun and scary moments that, you know, lead to a happy conclusion. And I enjoyed The Empire Strikes Back a lot because I saw it in grade 8. And I was still a good age for those sort of films.
Right.
When I saw Return of the Jedi, I was a sour grade 12 jerk. And I had no time at all for teddy bears in a movie or people fighting in front of a door. So I did not enjoy that movie at all. And, you know, so I think that a movie like this is different in tone, but I feel like, you know, you are allowed to grow up. Your films are allowed to grow up or tell different stories. It's telling you the grim reality before A New Hope, mm-hmm. you know? And I think that's kind of what they wanted to do was give you sort of a black and white, you know, here's what this involves and here's what we can do, you know? So
here's one of the things that I think is kind of brilliant about Star Wars.
And I'm saying that without trying to spoil it.
Yeah.
So.
About Star Wars just in general as a series is like they took sci-fi, mm-hmm. which can be dull. Sci-fi can be fucking dull.
Yeah.
Even like 2001. It's a beautiful film.
It's not about people.
But it is a snooze.
But it's not about people.
No, I understand. But sci-fi just in general is that.
Yeah.
And what they did was they went, okay, so we got that. How about we throw a couple of wizards in here? And whenever things are getting slow, the wizards just move shit along.
Yeah.
And just go, now I got magic powers and you can do all this. And what?
Yeah.
And just move it along. And they push the plot along and it's fine. And they've actually just slipped magic into a sci-fi thing by calling it a different thing and pretending it's sort of...
I can see that in like older science fiction films where scientists perform something magical as well that just moves the plot along. Mm-hmm. Like you could have fantasy sci-fi or you can have sci-fi with fantastical elements that just moves the plot forward, whether it's faster than light, spaceships, which don't exist but are fun to imagine and just get you places fast.
You can take that to the point where you go like, well, this is just sci-fi.
Yeah.
Like it's science we don't understand. But they literally in Star Wars go, it's a religion. It's a religion, as Han goes, hokey religions won't get you as far as a blaster. And, like, you got, so, you know, there's people are basically monks, and they believe in this thing, and it turns out to be real, and it moves along. And this film goes, none of that. So
it does, I would say.
Okay, we'll talk more about that later then.
Yeah.
Now, Nina.
Yes.
I noticed you've gotten a little quiet. And the last time you got quiet, it was because you had to go to the bathroom. Do you need a break right now?
Sure.
Okay, taking a break.
Taking a break.
We'll be right back after this message. Hello, friends. Do you have trouble getting food and putting it in your mouth? Well, why not try Boo Apron? Boo Apron is food put together by ghosts. It's
Sounds fantastical.
Just trying to think of all the ads on other podcasts. It's like there's always Audible.
Yes.
There's stamps.com.
How about this? Are you hungry and looking to read? Why not try Edible? The books that feed you while they read you.
Okay, here we go. I got one for stamps.com. Okay. Hey, Dave.
Yeah.
Do you know how many people get killed at the post office every year?
I do. 18.
That's right. 18 people. And if they had stamps at home, they wouldn't have to go to the post office
that's
and get
true.
Killed.
You're right.
You might be asking how they get killed. And oddly enough, it's ferrets. Because there's no law against bringing a ferret to the post office.
That's
you can't
ferret.
Bring cats. Okay. Can't bring dogs.
Nope.
Nothing in the rule book says a ferret can't be in the post office.
True. You're right.
And then 18 people get killed a year.
Yeah.
Don't let that happen to you. Stamps.com. they will. You can print your own stamps. Fuck it. Print your own money if you want. Who's stopping you? You got a printer. Stamps.com.
Yeah. Okay.
Who else does... Quicken. Do you hate accountants for because of how they smell? Well, Quicken will let you do your taxes at home, and then you don't have to be around those stinky accountants anymore. Ugh, they all smell like toner. Just makes me want to vomit when I'm there. But with Quicken at home, you can do your own taxes, because you're better than them, right?
Yes.
Take the risk. Do your own taxes. See how that works out for you. It was good enough for Capone. It's good enough for you.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the show. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sitting through those ads. You know, this show, we don't want to have ads. But in order for us to fund this program, we do have to sell airtime for ads. It's just the reality of podcasting today.
And when Nina went to the bathroom just then, mm-hmm. we went through her bag. Helped fund the podcast.
All I have are Japanese yens are in there.
That's right.
That's right.
So I'm going to spend that on some sushi. I'm just going to take you to a sushi restaurant and just go, well, are you authentic or not? Well, you got to take the money then, man. That's right. How it goes. All right. Tell us something about Japan we don't know.
Something you don't know about Japan?
What can I buy in a vending machine that I could not buy in North America?
Canned miso soup.
Is it hot?
Yeah.
How do you pick up a hot can out of a vending machine?
Very carefully. No, they have a lot of hot drinks in vending machines there. It's really useful, actually, because I started feeling sick near the end. Like, I'm not as sick as I am now. I feel like my body hung on there until I got home.
Yeah.
And then I was like, all right, I can really have a cold now.
Yeah.
And all, you know, all hell broke loose. And now I'm, like, coughing everywhere. But before, I was just, like, slightly cold. I had a slight cold, which was great. It was great having the vending machines because, you know, they're everywhere, for one thing. And you can just go at any time and get yourself a nice hot drink from the vending machine. So I would just get like hot lemon tea.
Oh, nice.
From the vending machine. Yeah.
Is it in a styrofoam cup or what type of?
No, it's a bottle or a can.
Well, how do you pick up a hot can?
Very carefully.
Do they expect you to have gloves? Or you just mighty hands and can just take it?
I guess because it's hot, but it's not so hot that you can't pick up the can.
Okay, so you get the can, and do you open the can and then steam comes out of the can? Or is the can already open when your hot tea is coming
just,
out?
It just looks exactly like a can of cold stuff, except it's warm. That's all it is. Or it's in a bottle.
Okay.
Yeah. And yeah, it's hot, but it's not so hot that you can't handle it.
And you bought
hot coffee.
You bought toys from vending machines as well. There was a lot of
There's tons. There's so many. It's awesome. Apparently, they have them in, like, I didn't see it when I was there, but at Haneda Airport, they have a whole bunch of vending machines there. I might have just missed it. I just saw an article about it. They have a bunch of vending machines with all these neat toys. And there's a sign saying, like, hey, get rid of all your Japanese change here before you leave.
Ah,
that's a great idea, I think.
Yeah,
because it's like you're just putting your 100 yen coins and you get something neat. And the vending machine toys there are way more interesting and cute than stuff you get here.
Yeah, I saw...
Yes, we get garbage.
I saw a restaurant. It was a Japanese restaurant.
Oh, really? You saw a Japanese restaurant?
In a YouTube video. Let me finish. Okay. God. Okay. Do you need to pee? Are you cranky because you need to pee too? You got is your
I'm jealous.
Leg wound?
I'm jealous of Nina. I have to go change my dressing.
What they had was, you know, you order food on your little plates. It's got the, you know, conveyor belt goes. You pick the thing.
Yeah.
But then when you've got either three or five, I forget how many plates. But
five.
You deposit them. Yeah. You deposit your plates, and when you've done your five plates, a little rotating, you know, roulette wheel comes up, or not roulette wheel, but like, you know, one arm bandit.
A blade on a pendulum starts swinging.
That's right. Yeah. It's a Poe theme thing. But no, it just. It's a game of chance, and then you can win toys.
Oh.
And so, you know, but it's like, failure. No, you don't win toys. And a little cartoon character comes out and goes, no. And then goes away.
Wow.
Or comes out and goes, yeah. And then you get a toy, and the toy comes out.
Huh.
So the kids are like, order more food so we can get toys. And at the end, you might win some toys.
So you've never been to Japan?
No, but I would love to.
Pia went once,
yes.
Right?
And that was she was crazy for it.
That was for a few days, though.
Yeah, like a day and a half.
Ooh. That's not nearly enough. Like, I was there for a week, and that felt like it wasn't enough. I usually like to go for at least 2 weeks when I go to Japan, but I couldn't afford to take the time off this time. I might go back in next year, though. You guys should really go. I know it's easier said than done. But...
No. Pia really wants to go, so yeah, we'll make that happen.
By yourself?
Why? Would you want to come?
I just...
By ourselves. Who are we bringing?
Are you going to be okay? No, I just like... okay. I like going to Japan with people who've never been to Japan before.
Yeah, we'll
and
go.
Especially if they can't
Look,
speak
we'll go
Japanese.
With you. Yes, we'll go with you. No, I'm just telling you right now, Pia will go. We will go with you if you want to go to Japan.
Okay, because
yes.
I'm telling you right now, like even me as a...
No, I'm telling you right now. We're going
to
go.
Someone who's fluent in Japanese, I still get confused there sometimes. So I like to go and help people.
Done.
Because like, yeah, they do have some English signs. And another thing is, if you go to a place they say that has a sign saying, yes, we speak English, you try to speak English there and and they barely know it, you know?
Uh-huh.
So like, I'll go there and be like, well, I know Japanese, but English is still easier for me to speak, obviously. So
yeah.
I'll just speak English. I'll try to speak English and their English would be so broken. I'm like, I'll just switch to Japanese. Okay, it's fine if you speak English. Like, oh, thank God. And then they actually start, you know, give me all the information I need. But yeah, like...
I'm
it's still tough for people who don't know Japanese to be there.
Well, I'm sure it's confusing. And like one wrong step and you're on a bullet train and you're 200 miles away from where you wanted to be.
I do that in England, man. P and I get on the wrong train so often wherever we go. So you're saying things get lost in translation there is what you're saying.
Oh, yes.
That's the hotel she stayed in.
Oh, is that right? Yeah. The Bill Murray Arms?
Yeah.
That's what it's called.
Yep. She stayed in Bill Murray's arms.
A gentle hug.
Aww.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, you guys would have a great time there, I think.
We're going to, yeah, we'll go. And we'll go with you, I swear. We'll do that.
When do you think it would be?
Oh, dude, do we have to, like, book it right now?
I just want to go there and rent some CDs.
I'm looking at Travelocity right now. We're going to buy tickets now.
I don't want to do Trivago, because let me just tell you. You know, we went over that last
week. Yes.
Of how when we do cons, people book through Trivago and then the final flights never meet.
Oh.
You know, so we're like constantly running through airports like crazy. So I'm like really paranoid now about like when does a flight arrive at the airport and when does it leave from that airport and how much distance is between the terminals. And let's just give, you know, and if there's a fuck up of, let's say, a half hour in the flight or something, does that screw us completely? So, yeah, we'll look into it. But no, look. Here's the thing. P and I wanted to, at some point next year, to go to Japan.
Okay.
That is true. If you want to go, we would love to go with you. Yes. Let's not bring Dave. That's all I'm saying.
Well, you know.
Well, you know, with his seeping leg wound, he's not going to last much longer. So.
That's right.
I'll be in a full state of zombification by that point.
Yes. At least the flights to Japan are direct. So.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, plenty of direct flights.
Oh, that's nice.
Going there is about a little over 9 hours.
What our plan was maybe was to go stay in Hawaii for maybe 4 days or something, and then go to Japan after that, take a little break in Hawaii, and you know, just swim around, and then go to the land of, you know,
the land down under is what Japan is called.
That's what they call it. Yeah. Yep. The land of the midnight cold.
What I should have done while in Japan was wear one of those face masks everybody wears.
Yep.
Do they all wear them there? Because there's so many people. It makes sense there where you're just packed together like sardines.
Even more so in the winter though. Because
yeah.
Like all the viruses, if they're wearing it, stuff. It's like, it's not just because they have a cold. It's because they don't want to catch a cold from other
people.
Yeah,
exactly.
So they're all wearing the face
masks. Well, it's
masks.
A good, it's not, and also you don't want to spread your cold. So
It's like, it's a way of
controlling a mass outbreak because everyone is so squished together.
Yeah, but also a nice thing about that is if you're just really antisocial.
You can rob a bank and no one knows who it was.
No, a lot of people wear it because they don't want people to talk to them.
Oh, really?
It's antisocial, yeah. Because it's socially acceptable to wear a face mask in public. So it's like, why not?
Or just you look like a doctor.
I'm going to start wearing them. I'll start wearing one at work.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird because like.
No pizza for you as you're shoving it into the mask.
Free pizza, there's none of that
free
culture
pizza day
here
next
at
week,
all.
Guys.
There's absolutely none of that culture here, you know, and everyone's just coughing all over the place. And
In our podcast.
Yeah, really only hospitals enforce the whole face mask thing.
That really bothers me here, though, when people just cough out in the open. They don't even try to cover it. They're just, like, coughing it up and spreading it everywhere.
Well, it makes it stronger.
Yeah. Sorry. Just in front of my house. My house is the place where people spit.
Oh,
where
really?
It's just the cough, cough, cough. Ha-ka-ka-koo!
That's disgusting. I hate people.
Like, dude, sincerely, dude.
Just put a spittoon out there.
Just, dude.
An icy spittoon.
That's right. Oh, okay, fine.
You like that image, everyone?
You missed kind of the snow days and the.
I heard it was really cold here.
It was quite cold.
We all got off work.
And Vancouver doesn't know how to deal with the cold.
It's not that we don't know how to deal with the cold. Our cold here is awful.
Yeah, but also, here's the thing. Everyone's supposed to clear their sidewalks.
Yeah, that's
including businesses,
supposed to.
And people don't. And businesses don't, which is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, just trying to walk down the streets is a slide. Mm-hmm. And then it all gets, and especially in my neighborhood, every corner is a pond. It's just a fucking slush pond.
Yeah.
And so you got to walk like 3 or 4 blocks out of your way to circle. Otherwise, you're crossing the street. And doing this huge long thing around. But then the car comes by, hits the pond, and now you've got the icy tidal wave, so screw that. So you've just got to really...
You got to be careful.
Yeah, and then it freezes a little bit, and then you get a nice ice thing on, and then it snows a little bit. Oh, that's good. Okay, and then you don't see that there's pond underneath. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm just going to walk on the snow. No, you're not. You're going for a dip.
It's ridiculous how bad Vancouver is dealing at snow.
We do not
in general. Like, everyone I've talked to outside of Vancouver, they're always surprised when they hear that. We're like, oh, like, I would think a Canadian city would be used to dealing with snow. I'm like, not Vancouver.
Nope. There was a...
I just want to say, in defense of Vancouver...
All right.
In defense of our bumbling, hapless city, you know, our snow is different than anywhere else in Canada.
We got the best snow, am I right?
We have the best snow.
Snow's number one!
We have the best
snow. Every snowflake is the same. Every snowflake is the same. Conform.
We have... our snow is just different because in other parts of Canada, it's freezing for most of winter. You know, ours isn't like that. Ours is like we have like one ridiculously semi-cold dip down to like the minus sevens and we all die.
Yeah.
And then and the reason we all die is that we don't have Sorel. We don't have Sorel boots. We don't wear parkas. No, I don't have any of those things because
we're out in our flip-flops and
Crocs. Happens. It happens for two or three days, so there's no point in me spending.
I'm wearing Sorel boots right now. I'm looking down at them.
Oh, did you say that's that? True. There you go.
There you go. But as for me personally, counterpoint. There's no point for me to spend $140 on boots when I'm going to wear them 2 days a year or 3 days a year.
Well, that's because you drive. If you don't drive like I do, these are necessary.
I guess.
That's a good point, if you're a walker.
But how often are you walking in the snow in the wintertime?
A lot, because I have a dog, so I have to walk her every day.
But we really don't get the snow that much. We didn't get any last year.
Yeah, this was unusual.
This is unusual.
But as soon as it snows, the whole city's paralyzed.
Yeah, because it snows terrible here. Because what happens is it snows, then it gets hot, because, you know, the reason we get to have snow is because that we have sun for a few days in the winter. Then the temperature drops. Then the clouds move in. Then it snows. Then the clouds are there. So then it gets hot. So the snow melts. But then at night it's cold. So the snow that's melted turns into a giant ice skating rink. So everyone's trying to drive around in this ice skating rink in cars that don't have snow tires, because you don't want to pay $500 for new snow tires for your car for 2 days of the year or 3 days of the year or no days of the year, unless you're driving outside of the Lower Mainland. And so, you know, so everyone's driving around in summer or all-weather tires on an ice rink.
Yep.
And it's really dangerous.
Going sideways down the street.
And a couple of weeks ago when my lips were, as chapped
as... You had seeping lip wounds.
Yeah. I was more chapped
than... Can I take care of that? Nope.
I was more chapped than a John Ford film. And there was so... Did you guys get that, everybody?
Yeah.
You
were more chapped than the movie Chappie.
That's right. I was more chapped than City Lights. The thing about it was it was nice because it was so dry, it was actually felt warm. Like I was walking around at work that whole time in my shirt sleeves, inside and outside, because even though it was minus seven or minus four or whatever, it felt nice. It felt nice and warm because the sun was out and, you know, it was a nice dry cold. Soon as the snow came and it was still that cold, it became much colder feeling and really uncomfortable, because it's like this icy, wet cold that just seeps into your bones and it's just, ugh. You know, you just feel it way differently than you do with a dry.
Did you see what happened to the Arene X place in New Westminster?
Oh, yeah. I heard about that. Queen Elizabeth Park.
That's my niece and nephew did gymnastics and stuff there.
Okay.
But were you familiar with this?
Yeah,
we were
talking about it on the way in.
Oh, well, that's great. Thanks for talking about things before the show. For those of you that don't live in the British Columbia area, it was like an 80-year-old building that was like an arena that had like a hockey rink in it.
1939.
And it snowed and it basically turned to toothpicks. It just destroyed
but what's
it.
Crazy.
If it happened in the day, holy shit.
Well, there were still people there, but the staff recognized what was happening and cleared the building, which was really good. But the other thing about it was that I thought was interesting was the roof was 5 years old. I mean, the building's really old, but they just had a new roof put on it, and that roof collapsed and fell apart. So the original roof lasted from 1939 to 2011.
See, the roof did the job too well. It held all the snow. Whereas the old roof, it would have seeped through, so some of the snow would have come through. But this one, it held all of it, so all that weight brought down the building.
You're probably right. There probably was some leakage. And then, so because I thought that's where the New Westminster Bruins played, but maybe I'm wrong.
Is it
a different building there? Because
I would not be able to.
It was at Queenie Park in New Westminster.
Well, this was Queen's Park.
Queen's Park. Yeah. Sorry, that's what I meant. Sorry, I was getting mixed up with the one in
here
in Vancouver. Yeah, okay. Queen's Park. But that's where
anyone
the New Westminster Bruins.
The
great
can answer their phone. Someone's phone is ringing.
It's not mine.
Oh, it's mine. Guys. All right, you guys.
Oh, thank
you
for
talk.
That dose of sarcasm, Mr. Phone.
Yep. Okay. Go ahead.
Oh, now we have to talk.
Is this going to be edited out?
No, I would edit it. It's fine. Okay. Ian's leaving. When you're at the... I still feel so weird saying it. Nurasawa exhibit.
Yeah.
So to talk a little bit, because we were talking about it, but we didn't talk about it in the show. So you're talking about seeing the pages and just how textured they were.
Yeah.
And how interesting that is to see like the real live...
They still do everything so analog there. Yeah. And just seeing the pages that he inked on... drew on, inked on, and then put the screen tones on. That's the coolest part about seeing original manga pages.
Is that right?
All the dot tones, the screen tones you see on there, it's like, I don't know if most people are familiar with the process, but they're just like...
Talk about it a little bit.
Yeah, they're just like say there's like a dot pattern. There's like a sheet of that that you can buy, and you just cut out the parts you need. Usually they just stick it on and then like very carefully cut out the parts.
Yeah, use an X-Acto blade.
With an X-Acto blade. And then sometimes they'll like scratch it a bit to create a faded effect.
Yeah, it's amazing what they do.
Yeah, it's just like stuck on there. And then all the text is also glued on there. They print it out and they glue it in.
Okay.
Which is kind of unheard of here, I think.
Yeah.
Like lettering is all done, usually done by hand or digitally.
Yeah.
But in Japan, like, I don't, there's very little manga in Japan that's hand lettered. You don't really see that ever.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, I think it's because legibility is very important.
Okay.
In manga, because there's so much like kanji, the Chinese characters.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't read that, then you're screwed. So.
And so, someone's handwriting. Like if someone has bad handwriting, then it's hard to read their... This is the same
in way harder than here, I think. Yeah. There's just so many letters and characters to go through. Yeah.
Because I was reading, there's a... we had Richard Starkings in the show a long time ago, and Richard Starkings...
Shout out to Richard Starkings.
Shout out, Richard, you're a great guy. And he has a company with another guy named John Rochelle called Comicraft, and they do comic book fonts. And John Rochelle has been making trying to make a full... Japanese font, and he says isn't one that exists that's a fully that has every character like whatever there
when
are.
When I look for a Japanese font, some of them will say like, oh, it's got this many kanji characters in it.
Okay.
Like the most common ones.
Yeah.
I think I can't remember the exact number, but
yeah,
making a Japanese font is it's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work. Well, he's trying to do a Kickstarter for it. And I don't know how successful it was because it's such an esoteric idea to be making a. You know, whatever it is, 15, let's say 15,000 character or more.
Probably more.
How many characters would you think? This like this don't, you know, if you don't know, don't.
Like 8,000, I would say.
Only 8,000.
Maybe more. I don't know.
That's a lot. So that's a lot of characters. Like we have 26 characters in ours that we can, you know, do lots of variations of. But
it's a different situation.
It's a different situation where they're using symbols, right? Which is very efficient. I know when Marco Polo came to China, the Chinese wanted
riding on a pony,
stuck a feather in his cap and invented macaroni, and they wanted him to take the Chinese ideograms back to Europe so that they could communicate with each other, because ideograms, you don't need a common language, you just need a common understanding of the images. We'd live in a different world if that happened, folks.
I remember when I was learning sign language for a show and thinking, oh, this is great. Because these aren't, you know, there's some spelling, but for the most part, it's like symbols. I'm like, you could just talk to anyone in the world. It's like, this is North American sign language. And every country has their own sign language.
Yeah.
Well, fuck you. Because this was new.
Because
you jerks.
The problem was when it was developed, people didn't have the same communication they have
fucking
nowadays.
Merge them together now and pick the best
one.
It
makes sense.
Because then you could talk to anybody.
It's true, but. If you do study, I've studied American Sign Language, and when you study American Sign Language, you realize that it's not as fluent as how we speak. Mm. It's a much more abrupt, staccato way to communicate. So you would lose some nuance in your language if everyone just went to talking that way. Just from when I was studying it, I realized.
Back to the kanji. Mm-hmm. My wife Pia, she was trying to learn Japanese and like memorize like a page, like a huge page of kanji.
Yeah.
To the point where she can read most things now that are just like in Vancouver. There's something in Japanese. She'll.
Yeah.
All right. So that's.
It's good to learn some common ones that you see in signage.
Yeah, and when she was there, it helped her through it too. It was like, okay, I get the gist. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I was just amazed that you could
memorize
that.
She only ended 100 miles away on the wrong bullet train.
You know what I love is...
Again, we do that in English.
I love tweeting in Japanese. Because 140 characters is not much in English, but in Japanese, you could write like...
Oh, yeah.
Like two paragraphs in there.
That's a good point.
Interesting. That's a good point.
Because it's so much more efficient of a language.
So you guys, we should all learn ideograms. That's the way of the future.
But don't tell Trump about that.
That's the way of the future.
You can't give him more.
In a way... I don't know if I should say this. Oh, I'm going to say it anyway. In a way, the language in Arrival is ideograms.
Mm.
You know.
Thanks for the spoilers. What a guy. What a guy. A guy.
I just want to say, like, you know what was interesting about the book signing I went to?
Oh, yes.
Was I found out, like, I act very differently around Japanese fans versus fans here.
How so?
Well, not just because of the language, but because of culture, too. Like, I don't know. Everyone there...
Did you serve tea to everyone who came?
Yeah, I did a tea ceremony with every single person that came.
And then when you signed it, there were speed lines that just arrived.
It took 5 hours.
You fell asleep and a little tear came out of your nose.
It's a bubble.
All right, fair enough.
It's not a bubble. Anyway,
Japanese sleep gross.
That's right. And blood spurts out of their heads sometimes when they're excited.
Yeah.
Because social hierarchies is such an important thing. Mm. Like you have to act a certain way around people of a certain position higher than you.
Okay.
It's just a very important.
So how do they inform you they're of a higher social position just so you know how to behave? Or do they speak to you in a certain way? If they use a certain way of speaking to you,
I think,
does that indicate where you fall in the hierarchy?
I guess so. I mean, usually you know just from like the situation you're in, meeting this person.
Yeah.
or how by how old they are, like how you're supposed to act.
Okay.
I mean,
okay.
If they're older than you, then automatically they're a senior and you have to act respectful towards them.
Right. Like well, you
would,
do with us.
I would appreciate a little of that.
Yeah, there we go.
Oh, sorry, Ian's son. Anyway. But yeah, like, but here, everyone acts pretty much the same around everyone, right? Like,
yeah.
In a casual situation.
Pretty,
yeah, we're all
pretty much. We're all
but
rude
there,
to each
like,
other, yeah.
All, they're just so formal and polite mm-hmm. to me. And mm-hmm. and of course, like, I know Japanese, but I wouldn't know what to say in that situation because I've never done this kind of thing before. Like,
yeah.
Make a public appearance in Japan. So I would just, they'd just be like saying like, oh, like, oh, I love your artwork very much. And I'm so glad to meet you. Just be like, oh, hi. You see, like, bowing politely the entire time and saying hi. Because you can get away with a lot in Japan, just bowing and saying hi the entire time. Like, honestly, like, that's a default answer to everything. So, like, yeah, just be like, hi. And then just like, ah, oh, arigatou gozaimasu. And then they would leave. And then there were, like, at least four foreigners there at the signing.
Okay.
As soon as someone speaking English came up and said, like, hey. I'm like, hey, how's it going? So, like, my entire body language just, like, totally different, you know?
Oh, wow. Interesting.
I could suddenly relax and be like, oh, finally. Like, me not so formal around you.
That's one thing when I was watching the Man Ben documentary and they have the newer artists, you know, with the classic artists. And I wonder how much they had to edit to get... to take out the respect so that you could just get on with it. They could have a conversation because mm-hmm. they just
you do see a little bit
deferential and just like,
I'm sure
you tell me, you know, you
before the filming, they do the whole business card exchange thing, for example. Like, that's a huge thing in Japan.
Yeah.
Did you bring your business cards?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I have special Japanese business cards that I made for two. I went to Japan 2 years ago. And I have business cards made up.
So why I'm laughing, I'm just picturing Japanese business battle cards. And then you both put your cards down to see who wins.
That'd be a fun comic.
That's
actually.
Right. Oh, you got 23 Earth. Damn, I've got...
But yeah, like, it's a very... it's a huge business card culture here. Like, here...
Interesting, yeah, not here.
Here, people kind of... They kind of pass them out like candy at conventions.
Yeah.
You just leave them on the table and people just grab them and then throw them or whatever. Like, nobody really cares.
You have to formally pass it to the person in
Japan?
Yes,
like, you have to, like, stand in front of them. You have to pull out your card. You have to hold it in both corners.
Okay.
And you have to present it and say, my name is this. I am from this company.
Okay.
Nice to meet you. And you bow and you hand it over to them. And when you take it, you're supposed to receive it and you have to look at it. And maybe make a comment or like, that's a nice card or whatever. And then
nice buff paper. Then you rub it, and then you get jealous like the character in American
Psycho.
Where did you get this paper from?
You have to look at it. You have to put it in a business card holder, or else they can't just like shove it in your pocket. Like,
that's right.
That'd be considered really rude there.
So
everyone has to have a business card holder.
Okay.
Put it in, and then when you present, you present yours.
Yeah.
And the same thing back to them, and then you can start talking.
Interesting.
So you have to do that first if you're meeting someone new in a
business
situation.
Amazing, isn't it? Like, our culture is so much like, it's just so informal now, like, compared to what it once was. I mean, there's elements.
There's nice things about that.
There are nice things about
it. It's a lot more relaxing.
I mean, we don't have like, you know, it's still, if you went to France, unless people, I assume that now amongst kids and stuff like that, they don't really say vu to each other anymore. But there was the tu vu, you know, like, so to tutoyer someone, to talk to someone with a familiar you was considered to be very rude.
They don't do that anymore? It's not considered rude anymore?
I think in certain ways it is. But I think if you looked at younger people, you'd find that kind of those sort of formal boundaries are probably starting to be down. I'm assuming that, but I just think that's sort of the way of the world. But you look at England, I mean... We don't use them now, but thee and thou were our two. Those were our informal loving you that we would use to people who are only very close to us. And you was a formal you that you used to people who were showing respect to. Somehow we dropped using the informal familiar you, the thee and thous and stuff like that, and then we replaced them all with the formal you. So whether we just thought this is too much work and I'm tired of putting F on the end of words, or we just were like, well, let's just be really formal. We'll just call everyone
I do like the idea of like there being no barriers like that. Like, no matter what social standing you're at, you act towards each other. Like, I really like that about this.
Well, that was the Quakers who introduced that into. But the problem was, is the Quakers introduced it by calling everyone thee and thou, because those were the words of familiarity and closeness. So when Voltaire came to England, he loved the idea of using two the like a two form of using the thee and thou with people and getting rid of this idea of formal you know, it was just respectful you and stuff like that. He thought it was great that they were embracing everyone by making this inclusive you know. So, but we just kind of got it backwards. We got rid of the old feeling when we just kept with the you.
I'm listening to a bunch of Hamilton stuff because what the heck? Why the heck not? The mixtape is out, but I also like the original musical. And they have a lot of things that are almost Shakespearean. Where like, you know, I am your servant, sir. You know, it's just that kind of properness that you, you approach. Of course, it all leads to people shooting each other. So it's like, you know, it's like all this beautiful artifice that leads to, and now you got a gun in your hand.
Yeah, but that happens anyway, whether it's informal or formal.
But you're very fancily aiming your gun at someone and shooting and doing all this bullshit. You know, it all leads to that, which is too bad. I think the more casual thing is better because you can actually talk to somebody and maybe shoot talk you your way out of this.
Someone just shoots you without saying anything.
Yeah, everyone's better. Well, that's, I think that's better. Than this big,
speaking of like language differences and culture differences, what I found interesting at my signing was what like near the end I had to like say a parting word or two, and I asked.
You went hi.
As
you slowly back out of the room.
Instead of doing a mic drop, I placed it carefully down in front of me before I left. Because that'd be very rude to just drop the mic.
Oh, absolutely.
No, I said like what kind of person did you picture, you know, before I came here? Because I don't post pictures of myself online at all. And I was like, I wonder what kind of person they picture. Like a Japanese girl who didn't grow up in Japan, but is from Canada, you know? And then they were like, oh, we thought you would be a guy.
Really?
I thought that was interesting because I guess they don't, like with Nina, they're not sure if, if that's a female name or a male name.
Yeah.
Like I'm sure a lot of people here wouldn't recognize female names versus male names in Japanese names too.
Yeah.
And also in the Japanese language, you can easily like talk about a person without referencing their gender at all because they don't have gendered pronouns there.
Oh, they don't?
Yeah.
So they just say call you it basically or like a
you don't really use or much one pronouns at all.
Oh, they don't really. Oh, okay.
Japanese, yeah.
Like so. Okay. Yeah. There's lots
or
of romance
languages. Or you say that person.
Yeah. Sure.
Or use their name usually. So, yeah, I guess.
But don't they have like so they don't have like feminine masculine endings to adjectives? Like so now like noun descriptors don't have like a feminine or masculine ending. Oh, okay, interesting.
Yeah, so like you can easily talk about a person, go on and on about a person and never reveal their gender. Mm-hmm. So I guess that's why they just kind of assume that it would be a guy. So that was a nice surprise for them, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Interesting.
Well, I remember like when Pia got her job working on Why the Last Man, my wife Pia Guerra.
I've heard of her.
The she got hired when the writer was looking at these samples and went, "Oh yeah, let's get this guy." And didn't know her gender and that's happened a couple of times since. Oh, yeah.
Well, also like I thought Nina was a feminine sounding enough name, like even in Japan, but they said that like a lot of indie artists in Japan, male artists use kind of girly sounding names, so they thought maybe that was the case too. That's another thing. Like a lot of artists there use pseudonyms. Like here, you don't see it as much at all.
Would they use pseudonyms to do different styles, or would they just use pseudonyms
in general, keep their own lives private? Or if people get a pseudonym here, it's still a real sounding name.
Right.
Whereas in Japan, you can get away with an obvious pseudonym, you know, and they're totally okay with that.
We were hanging out in Florida at the last con with Moritat, our friend Moritat, who is a man of many names.
Yes, he
is. Oh, so many names.
I know him by a nickname.
Yeah.
I would never think of calling him by his real name or by his art name.
And where it gets confusing then is when you're talking to somebody and you bring up one of the names and they don't know who the hell you're talking about and you got to go through the whole thing, or they're talking about someone and that's a different name he's using.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Confusing.
But Moritat, very good artist.
But then you look at, say...
And is it a guy or a girl? Who knows? I said he. Nah, I blew it. Oh,
also,
well,
while I was in Japan, I saw a tweet by Keita Takahashi. Keita Takahashi is the creator of Katamari Damacy.
Yes.
And he lives in San Francisco. And he was showing a piece of mail he got that said, Miss Keita Takahashi. He's like, this is not the first time it's happened. Like, does my name sound feminine in English? And people were explaining, like, well, an I-T-A sound at the end of a name is usually feminine. That's probably why.
Yes.
Also, in North American comics, whenever they had to feminize a character, they would put like the A at the end. And so you're like, Namor and his sister, Namorita.
Yeah.
Or Namora or whoever. Yeah.
Gamora. And her brother, Gamor.
That's right.
But it's the same with like when you look at European, like mid-century European comics, pseudonyms were very popular. And it just seemed to be like that's what they did. There was no reason for it. They weren't like looking for privacy or anything. This is, you know, so Hergé.
I would have preferred to use a pseudonym myself, actually, when I first got published. But I was trying to think of a good pseudonym, but.
Too late now, Nemo.
Nemo. Anyway, yeah, basically what they told me at Bongo was like, well, I think you should just go with Nina Matsumoto. It sounds cool anyway. And,
yeah, it sounds pretty cool.
And if we use a fake name, or if you just use initials like NS Matsumoto or whatever, then yeah, it just sounds like a fake person or something.
Yeah.
And also they said, well, the thing that sold me on using my real name was there aren't enough female artists out there.
Yeah.
In the comics industry, yeah, and I think this will help. I'm like, okay, yeah, I can see that, because I remember when I was younger, I mean, in manga, there's tons and tons of female artists, but I always assumed that with American comics, you basically had to be a guy to be an artist.
Yeah.
So I just didn't see female artists at all.
No, so you're right.
I'm like, yeah, that's a good idea. Like maybe there are other girls who feel the same way. I mean, there are way more prevalent female artists now compared to when I was growing up, but they're still underrepresented. Like, you look at a list of best comic artists of the year, whatever, and it's like mostly guys still.
Yeah.
So there's still that problem.
It's nice too, because when you're doing the Simpsons stuff, that's people reading stuff when they're young and getting on. And so there was a guy in Florida, and bless him, but he was talking about Tapia. He's like, it's so nice to see a woman artist. You know, my daughter, she likes art. She doesn't think she can do art. And then there's a woman artist. I always say, see, there's a woman artist. Just like, yeah, okay. But don't say it that guy's got wings. He can fly. It's crazy.
I understand the
sentiment.
That
dog's wearing a hat. Look at it. Follow your dreams.
But it's interesting because, like, when you look at webcomics, how many female artists are art, and female cartoonists
are... It's because they don't get hired by studios. So they're like, we'll just make our own comics. And then
become incredibly successful.
Yeah. I think you're right
Kate
there.
Kate Eaton or Lisa Hannah-Walter.
I think you're right there, but I also think it's because it's such a new form that there was no set boundaries. And
the gatekeepers aren't
there. There was no gatekeepers there, right? Like, when you look at, like my wife and I were talking about this in relation to, like...
He's got a wife.
Yeah. My indentured servant and I were talking about this. And she said, like, we're talking about music, and I was saying, like, when you look at, like, major musical movements, like rock music, how little presence women have in all these major movements, whether you're thinking of, like, 60s rock and roll, or even something as late as the 80s, when we had, like, the massive, like, independent music or alternative music, stuff like that. You know, there's REM for, like, you know, I know there was, like, the Go-Go's and the Bangles and say Blondie and stuff like that, but there's so many more male bands that you can bring out of that time period. And it just feels like as soon as you can have, like, any sort of thing that's established, you have your gatekeepers that can keep, you know, people from expressing themselves or whatever. It's very rare. Like, maybe British post-punk is one I can think of where you had, like, a pretty, like, a lot of women artists, but most of it was males who, you know, and males who are buying the records and want to hear themselves.
That's like a pretty obvious theory to me. It's like,
sure,
okay, so you're like you're not going to get the female version of the Beatles because they can't play in Germany in a rough club for this amount of time being four women. You can't. I mean, you got to play gigs as a rock and roll band that are really fucking hard gigs.
Yeah.
And, you know, that are dangerous, and guys can perform in these. No, it's from comedy as well.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when people are like, why aren't there more women stand-up comics? Have you seen these fucking gigs we got to go on? Because if you're going to Oliver, BC, to this rough town, you're staying in a motel, you're alone, you're walking to the fucking bar, everyone's a bunch of drunk guys there, they're coming back after doing your set, you got to go and you got to collect your money at a bar, they see now you've got money and also your own. It's like, it's so fucking dangerous, it's ridiculous that, you know, all of a sudden, you know, you get all these stand-ups, you know, and you got the small amount that are really good, and then you got all these rough and tumble knuckle fucking heads, and like, where are these guys coming from?
Yeah.
They're coming from, they're the only ones who could do the gigs. And it's the same thing, I think, with music. You see
that's true to a point, guys,
and they're all like fucking stoner drunks. And it's like, yeah, because they can survive the lifestyle.
But that's true to a point, but there's more to it than that, because there's also the element of where women can be sexualized, and men, it's less likely that men will be sexualized. So you can have a Blondie, you know, and so what's her appeal? Her appeal is that she's a beautiful woman, not that she's a great singer or that she can write songs or plays an instrument or whatever. It's that she's good looking. And so you find that less with REM and Husker Du and Violent Femmes. And
I'd say Blondie had an amazing voice, though. I think, like, it's a very unique voice.
But what is she known for? You want the images of her, what people remember.
I think it's a combination, though, right?
But how is she sold? She's not sold for her amazing voice.
Well, the first time you hear her before you see her. You hear her on the radio and you don't know what she looks like.
Okay.
So that's you're hearing that and go like, oh, Jesus, heart of glass. You know, that's amazing. And then you see her and then that delivers on that aspect and there you go. Yes. But yeah, she had to work her way up through the punk scene. But I think the punk scene
she did work her way up
was a little bit
scene,
of a different situation because, you know,
because it's new. And that's what I mean about post-punk, too. Like, the punk scene in England was very short-lived, so it's hard to talk about it as being a fully formed thing. But post-punk, where you had people kind of carry on the punk tradition into various other musical forms, there was ample opportunity because it's a playing, you know, even though it's a violin and they're being played in clubs where people are fighting and hitting each other with beer bottles, you had a place where you could play. And there was no one saying, no, you can't.
Yeah.
You know?
There was respect in the chaos.
Yeah, that's right. Whereas, you know, and I think the same for web cartoonists is that there's no one saying, no, you can't, because there's no one to stop them. And because, you know, unless some guy was shutting down websites. But I mean, you know what I mean, right? It's impossible.
Well, you've got a pretty strong web presence. What?
Well, I guess so.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do I?
Yeah.
Yes, you do.
I don't know, because, like, I don't put up much stuff on web, really. Like, most of my comics that I do are in print, mm-hmm. and I do t-shirt designs, and that's about it.
But you have a presence in, like video game culture and stuff like that, and I'd say that's a highly masculinized...
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Very much a gatekeeper culture.
That's where Gamergate came from, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry?
That's Gamergate. Where Gamergate came
yeah,
from.
Yeah, and so you've kind of broken into that in a way that's... Do you feel comfortable in that situation, or do you feel like I'm a visitor in a land that could get very hostile if I'm not careful?
I'm pretty comfortable, honestly. Okay. Like, yeah. I never felt uncomfortable being sure. in the industry, but
also, I think if helps. This is a non-topic for you too, that's okay too.
No, I mean, I think it helps that I'm not really super outspoken or anything.
Mm.
If I posted a bunch of like opinion pieces, then
things could turn.
Would be different.
Yeah, things could turn. Yeah, and that's unfortunate.
But no, I don't post a whole lot of things like yeah. that on my Twitter. So yeah. I just keep my opinions and my life private,
mm-hmm.
and I think that helps, you know.
Yeah.
But it's unfortunate that a lot of people feel the need to do that without, you know, because otherwise they would get harassed.
Yeah.
And they do. A lot of women do get mm-hmm. harassed in the video game scene, unfortunately.
Fucking gatekeepers.
Gamer gatekeepers.
Yeah. It's always the light in the dark, and the light side of it is, yeah, there aren't as many gatekeepers, so you can put stuff out. But there's also, as you say, there's not enough gatekeepers going, stopping the kind of attacks and the mm-hmm. mean and the, mm-hmm.
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
they get to that though. Ah, those fuckers don't win. They don't win. They sometimes get elected president, but they don't win in the long run.
Yeah, it's too bad that because of that, a lot of like females in various industries, or I guess I should say women in various industries, mm-hmm. they don't get noticed as much, and so they don't get recorded in history, and then people look back and think, well, what have women ever done? Like, it's mostly men that have done stuff. Well, that's only because
yeah.
the women didn't get noticed.
Yeah.
That's why they were there.
What about the right sister?
Yeah, that's right. No, that's true.
It's true.
She was actually really brilliant.
An integral part of it, yeah.
Yeah.
But just got
it's very funny. Dave wouldn't watch this because he doesn't like seeing drunk people. But there's a very good episode of Drunk History that covers her. And basically how one
what was
of the
her
brothers,
name? What was her name?
I'm not sure.
Okay, sorry. Because with Orville and Wilbur, you know that her name was unfortunate.
Yes, I'm sure.
Orvelita.
Orvelita.
And one of the brothers basically wanted to marry her and didn't like that she was like interested in fellas and that mm-hmm. kind of stuff. There's a lot of... But yeah, she came up with a lot of the ideas.
Really?
But again...
Yeah.
So it should have been the right siblings.
Yes.
Yep.
But she was completely written out of the equation.
Yeah.
That sucks.
I never heard about this until someone mentioned it at work the other day. So
because
that's,
they probably saw
They probably
history.
Did see that. Probably saw that drunk
yeah,
history.
Yeah, they laid it out quite nicely.
Unfortunately for me, I don't like watching drunk people.
Yeah.
I don't mind people who are happy drunks. But when they're falling down, throwing up drunks,
right.
I just don't enjoy it.
Or they like that on Drunk History?
Yeah.
Really? They're that drunk?
Yes.
Have you never seen Drunk History?
I think I saw one, but he didn't seem like he was that much.
There's there's been some vomiting on the show.
Ooh.
there isn't in this.
I wouldn't want to watch that either.
I'll give you a link to the.
He'll be your gatekeeper.
Do you sorry to get we're still on this topic.
Sure.
But my wife Pia, I'm gonna keep bringing her up.
I don't know who you're talking about.
When we went to Florida, I was on a panel, and my panel was about. Somehow I was on a panel about Dungeons and Dragons. Anyway,
you brought her ignoramus. So
yeah, no kidding. The guy was so disappointed. We went like, so how long have you been playing D&D? Well, I've been doing a live show for about 4 years, but never played it before then. Ooh. Anyway, I had to just tell jokes through the whole fucking thing. It was fine. And then I got to put on a panel about like adapting other media into comics because
okay.
I do that.
Sure.
And Pia was booked on a Women in Comics panel.
Of course she was.
And she said nope.
Yeah.
And then after she said nope, some people came to the table when it was time for that panel. I went, oh, it's time for the panel. I was like, oh, I said no. Oh, but there's.
But you're a woman in comics.
Yeah, they were like, why? Why won't you do it? Yeah, just don't do those. I'm like, but why? Why don't you do it? It's just like, fucking, because
isn't it done? Isn't
well,
it done
no,
as a topic of conversation?
It's not done, but if it's the only panel that you're booked on. kind of fuck that is a little bit. And if that's the panel that you're on every time, and it's always the same things and always said in the same way. By the way, if you're playing the Siren game, take your guess as to what is going by right now.
I would call that an angry ambulance saying, get the fuck off the road, people. When you hear a siren, you pull over.
That's right.
You pull over and let the ambulance pass because the ambulance is going to help someone and you are just in the way. Hmm. Anyway, if you thought it was an ambulance, take two drinks.
That's right. There's nothing wrong with those kind of panels. She's just decided not to do those kind of panels.
Okay.
Like, do you do those panels?
I was going to do one during, I think, Wizard Comic Con.
Yep.
And then it didn't happen. That's it.
There we go. That's
it's the reason.
That's the same one you guys were at too.
Can't they just change like the? Because when you have women in comics, it sounds like you're going to be talking about how hard it is for women in comics.
That is usually how it goes.
And I never do those kind of things. Yeah. Or like, I feel like I'm a horrible person to interview because they'll ask me things like,
"You are terrible."
They're like, "Oh, like what kind of challenges have you faced as a woman in comics or a person of color in comics and stuff like that?" And just like, I don't know. I feel like I honestly feel like I haven't faced any challenges as that. If I had, then I haven't noticed. Mm-hmm. Like I grew up with a lot of female creators, a lot of Japanese female creators, especially because I read manga growing up. So I never thought of it as like a strange thing for me to do. Like I understand if you grew up here, not in Japanese, immersed in Japanese culture, you'd think like, oh, comics aren't for me. But I never felt that way. And I still feel like it's never been an issue for me. Maybe it has been for other people in similar shoes as me, but me personally, I never feel like I've encountered that. So whenever people ask me that, I'm just like, I don't know. Like I'm sorry, but I have nothing to say about this because I don't think of myself as a woman in comics or a person of color in comics. I'm just a comics creator. Mm-hmm. And so when people ask me things like that, I'm just like, I don't know. I feel like I face the same issues that most comics creators do.
Yeah. Well, this feels like those kind of panels, even though I guess I can see it's an important topic. It feels like you're just picking at the wound rather than just, you know, just letting it.
If I'm on a comics panel.
Just rather than it being something that we all accept without thinking about it.
I'd rather talk about my work.
Yeah.
And not about my struggles as a woman in the industry and stuff like that. Like, why would I want to talk about that?
Sure.
I mean, I guess if I have faced like actual huge issues, like as a woman in comics, and I wanted to address those issues, sure. But then they should find the people who have faced those issues and then invite those kinds of people.
Yeah.
Instead of just picking random women and saying, okay, let's talk about your struggles.
They impose a narrative on you. That's
what it feels like. Yeah. It's like, oh, well, you're a woman in comics, therefore you must have many stories about your difficulties in the industry. And I'm like, no, I really haven't.
Well, I know we're talking about this, but I just want to say that I am available for white males and podcasting panels. So, because I know that's something that we've had a lot of struggles with.
And get him quick, because he's got a seeping leg and it will not be long.
We've had a lot of struggles.
Yeah. You know, speaking as a white male. Music podcast, Deep Cuts, now has taken on an ironic.
as a white male dork, I feel like we have been underrepresented in podcasting.
Yeah. I mean, obviously there's privilege and everything and all that. But whenever I see the panels, it's always the situation where it's like, okay. You go like, ah, it's good to see. And then you see, there's a couple of people at the end. And you go like, I understand this is an issue, but it's not the only issue. And that's not the reason you're not working.
Okay.
You know, that's not the reason these two people on the end aren't working. That's just people aren't working.
Yeah.
And you just got to keep getting better. And again, the reason, you're right, the tone, you're correct, but also, and but, you know.
Yes, that's, and I mean, yeah.
That reminds me the very first podcast I was on, which was not this. It was...
What?
I'm sorry. You guys weren't my first. before this, I was interviewed by someone. I can't remember this name of the show or the name of the guy. Or anything. It was a while ago. This was right after I got, quote unquote, discovered online. Mm. It was like 10 years ago by now, I guess. It was a very... I don't know. The guy was really old. I'm sure he won't hear this.
Yeah.
The guy was really old. And
we don't have any listeners over 30.
It seemed like he didn't know anything about comics or manga or anything like that. And he didn't do any research on it either. So at one point he asked me like, oh, like, so you're in high school and you're drawing comics. Like, does that seem weird? Like most girls your age would have been like cheerleaders. Like, how did it feel being a comic artist? as a girl in high school.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I felt fine about it. Like, first of all, like, I'm in Canada. We don't really have a cheerleader culture here.
No,
at
we don't
all.
Have a cheerleader.
Like, we don't have cheerleaders. So.
Give me an F.
I just felt really kind of insulted by that question. Yeah, it's like, what? So you were basically asking me, like, so how did it feel being a freak in high school?
Yeah, yeah.
And like the cheerleaders aren't freaks. Like, what's that mean? Most girls are cheerleaders. No, they're not.
Yeah, that's true.
Mean? That means nothing. Right. What's that? What?
Weren't you really lonely during homecoming week?
I've seen high school movies, and you're either a cheerleader or a nerd who's about to become a cheerleader.
And I also know your lockers are outside the school.
It felt like he was going, oh, comic artist in high school, that's dorky. Why weren't you a cheerleader? Yeah,
it's weird.
So that whole tone felt weird to me. So when I go on a panel and they're like, oh, how do you feel being a woman, a person of color, whatever, in comics, it just feels the same way. Kind of like, if I didn't bring up these issues, then I don't want you to ask me about them, because
and we have for the last half hour. Nice job, jerk ass. Yeah, the next podcast you're on, well, yeah, these guys. I don't know what their names were.
I feel like it kind of came up naturally.
No,
not,
it did. No,
not,
it's.
I mean, honestly, if people have had issues being. Have struggles with being a woman or person of color in comics, like, and that happens for sure.
Clearly,
you know,
they,
definitely,
yeah.
That's fine. But I don't want them to assume everybody has had that same issue.
Yeah,
yep.
Because then it's awkward for me too when you bring it up to me. I'm like, I have no stories to tell.
That's
I'm
right.
sorry.
This is Canada. We don't have racism here.
What's that? What's that racist cricket? Would you like to hear? Oh, okay. I'm waiting. Okay. Speaking of, we don't have racism here. On the way over, crickets. Where I'm buying your Coke, and I'm about to buy her. She's got the alcohol.
Yeah.
So I'm buying that. I'm in the lineup at the, just a little corner store that's over here. And there's a lady behind me. It's, you know, a middle-aged lady. And then an old guy comes up and goes, hey, you want to hear a Pakistani joke? To
what?
Her? She's, no, yeah. Not interested. You're in a racist joke. Thanks.
Yeah.
Well, suit your damn self.
Really?
Yeah.
What?
That is weird.
Yep.
Weird
in every
way.
So
let me just tell you, racism exists in that line.
I believe that there's one racist in Canada and you met him.
Yep.
Well, I will just say, like I grew up with manga, and there's, you know, obviously manga is drawn by people of color, and most of them are drawn. Not most, but a lot of it is drawn by women. I grew up reading lots of manga for girls.
Best one, everyone?
Drawn by women.
Best one? Rumiko Takahashi.
I didn't grow up reading Rumiko Takahashi, but a lot of girls did. I was just not one of them.
Oh, it's Rumiko. Sorry.
Yeah,
sorry.
That's okay.
I always blow the names because you make me nervous because you know them. So I can just fake it so well.
It's okay. Yeah, so I grew up reading manga. A lot of them drawn by women. And I grew up in Vancouver, where we have a huge Asian population. And there are plenty of stores you can go to. You can just buy imported Japanese books.
Yeah.
So I never really felt like I was an outsider in that sense. Mm-hmm. Like, I never thought of comics as being something that only guys do, thanks to growing up reading manga.
Yeah.
And I know that a lot of my friends who are artists, who are comic artists today, they grew up thinking, oh, it's only for boys. And
really?
They had struggles, too.
Yeah.
But I was fortunate enough to grew up reading manga and growing up in a city largely populated by Asians. So I've never felt that. So I'm just lucky, I guess. I just don't like to talk about that when people ask about my struggles. And then I feel like I'm bragging, kind of. It's like, I've had no troubles. Like, I'm fine. Especially if I'm on a panel and they bring that up to me. I'd feel so weird saying, like, I've been okay.
I bet there's people who are in the audience or listening or what have you who do feel that way and feel I guess
true.
I should feel guilty about not having problems or not having those specific problems. Everyone's got problems.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, no, I think anytime you tell your story honestly, you know, that's good. That's just a good thing.
But it also kind of ends the conversation right there.
That conversation, yeah, but there's infinite other conversations you can have. But that specific one,
true,
you know, is we just almost ended the conversation. That's a good point. No, I don't think that ends the conversation. What's that, racist cricket? No.
Back again.
Again.
I don't want that Pakistani joke, racist cricket.
Just write it on this piece of paper. Oh, he wrote it so tiny. I don't
no
even
one can
know.
Read it.
But you know what? I also feel like right now, 2016 has been a horrible year for a lot of people.
Yay.
But I know a lot of people.
I hurt my leg.
I know for a lot of people, it's been a great year, but they feel guilty talking about it.
Yeah.
Because everyone else has had such terrible years. Isn't that weird to feel guilty about
About joy? Yeah.
Yeah. That is very odd.
Oh, well, I think you can. I think you can. I mean, it's just empathy. You don't have to duplicate someone else's pain.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's a mistake if someone goes like, I'm having a terrible day. Me too, brother. You know, I mean, you don't have to do that. You can go, tell me about it.
Yeah.
And then when they've told you about that, then you share your day, and that's okay too. You don't go, it's not so bad. Everything's fine. Yeah.
Chin up. Turn that frown upside down.
Yeah, someone says, had a terrible year. You don't say, well, mine's been fine.
Yeah.
I've had a great year.
I'm dealing with a bit of that. Yeah.
Really?
No, don't blame the year. Things are great.
Yeah.
Ba-ba-da-ba-ba-da-ba.
Turn that seeping leg wound upside down.
No, it really just comes down, again, I do believe it comes down to empathy and just like, all right. And there's empathy on the other side, too. And just like, okay, you want to share your joyful story? Happy to hear that. And,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I've got a good friend. We were at their house yesterday.
Yes.
And their cat went through the same thing my cat went through, but had the opposite, diagnosis, and is fine. And it's like, I'm happy to hear that joyful story.
Yeah.
And I hope they don't feel embarrassed sharing that with me because I'm the opposite thing. But,
yeah.
I think that's absolutely fine. There's a beautiful picture of that cat playing poker last night.
Yes, it's a good picture.
Oh, it's just gorgeous.
Yeah.
I'll have to see that good later. Picture. But I don't know. Like, I've had friends, acquaintances who would like, I just can't really talk about my successes with them anymore. Because as soon as they say, oh, I got this job doing this and whatever, then all they do is like dump on themselves and be like, oh, like that'll never happen to me.
Oh, no.
Have you had people like that?
Yeah, I'll tell you famously.
Yeah, his name's David.
Disagree. There was a guy who used to work in a movie theater who I used to do like theater with, and so famously he would always, like, I say famously because I've said this many times on the show, this guy, where I'd go up and he'd go, how are things going? And he'd go like, things are going great. And I was like, oh, great, that must be nice. Then I'll tell you what's happened in my life. I blah 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 blah. And like, all right, I know how to handle this. So the next time you go up, like, hey, how's it going? Oh, things are pretty rough. It's like, oh, you think you got problems? I'm going to tell you about my life. Blah, blah, blah. It's like, okay, some people just want to strum that on the guitar and it doesn't matter what you're presenting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
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 Some people are always going to be, even if they're doing great too, it'll be like, yeah.
But it's sad though, because like, I want to talk to them about my projects that are going on, but I can't because it just makes them depressed about themselves. And it really sucks. And some of my friendships have suffered over the years because of that.
I think sometimes it's a youthful thing too. I hope as people get older, they can get over those sort of feelings.
No, I think it gets worse as they get older.
Really?
The older they get, and the less success they have,
yeah,
and the more success I get, the worse it gets.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm pretty bitter about it. But when I was younger, I went through that kind of envy of other people's successes, and it took me a long time to get, not a long time, but I had to concentrate and just think, why am I feeling this way? This is ridiculous to be jealous of someone else who I like or love a lot. And why am I jealous of what's making them happy? That's ridiculous. So But yeah, I think it's when you are striving to get ahead and someone else is going past you, it's very easy to judge yourself by what's happening to them.
True, but it's not like I've never been in that boat myself. Like,
of course.
Yeah, like, but that's, especially when I was younger, like, I would see other people being more successful than me, and, mm-hmm. and sure, that would make me feel bad about myself, but I would still say like, oh, that's good for you. Like, I'm glad that you're doing well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, do you think like in that scenario, so you got the person who's going to feel bad about themselves and you're telling you how you're doing well.
I would never talk to someone and tell them I was jealous of what was happening.
So, but let's go with that scenario. Let's call this person David. And so he's
jerk.
You're saying, oh, I'm doing this project and this is, and like, oh, I just and he's doing his thing. Now, if you were out of the picture, do you think he would feel the same way about himself, or are you sparking something that's starting the flame going? Because my feeling is that narrative is running through his own head anyway, no matter what. That song is going.
I agree.
So you're just playing your song, and then he's playing the song that he wouldn't be saying anyway.
It's just sad when they can't put that aside for even a second.
Yeah.
To say, hey, I'm glad you're doing well.
There's a really good movie called Don't Think Twice that I was trying to watch
Ian's
for the
obsessed.
Longest. I really like this movie. It's about improv, but it's also about cartooning. There's a cartoonist in it as well. And it's about what happens in a group where one of your friends becomes successful, and how does that affect the dynamic of the group? How do people react to that in the various different ways?
So,
and I think it relates
to John Candy gets really famous. And
and everyone gets a little bit pissed off. That's true. That did happen with the SCTV.
Yeah. It's hard because when you are all equal for a long time, when you're young and you're all struggling together, you're all in the same boat. You're all in the same place.
Yeah.
And at some point, someone steps off that boat and they're on a yacht and they're, you know, they're 100 yards away from you, and you're looking over at them, and they're having a really great time. They're not just on a yacht. They're on a yacht with a bunch of beautiful women or a bunch of beautiful men, and they're all, like, having a great time.
Uh-huh.
And you're sitting on your rowboat with your friends, and you're still waiting in the rowboat for that yacht to come pick you up. And that's a hard feeling, and I can understand why people would feel that way, but at the same time, that feeling you're having is, when you think about it, it, like, why are you begrudging someone that you like, that you've worked with? Why are you begrudging them their luck? Because really, what success is luck in a way. I mean,
oh, definitely.
There's an element of hard work, but lots of people can work really hard.
Doing the right thing
at the right time.
Yeah. Lots of people can work really hard and never have that break. They can work as hard as a person who just lucky
and
enough to be at the right place.
And I've felt a lot of, like, imposter syndrome too, like tons of it. I look at my friends who I think are way better artists than I am, and they haven't had the degree of success that I've had. I'm like, what am I doing over here? And they're still over there.
But that's a huge thing. Everyone who's successful in any way, shape, or form has more people that they know that are better at the thing that they do than them, and they'd be able to tell you.
But here's the thing
every
about
comedian
that.
Goes, I'm not the funniest guy in my family.
Yeah,
you know, the funniest guy is this guy.
Mm-hmm. But the thing is that your opinion of your own talents is not very accurate. So
but
how you feel about how talented you are has no bearing on how other people view your talent. So how you look at your friend's talents versus how you draw, because what you look at when you look at your drawings is a giant thing of blemishes and blister sores. And when you look at theirs, you just see a beautiful work of art. It's the same thing when they look at yours versus
theirs. I just
stopped
drawing all those blemishes and blister sores.
What's that, sorry?
I just stopped drawing all those blemishes.
Yeah, so just draw sleeping wounds. That's where it's at now.
But I'm just saying.
Can I borrow your leg later? I need to do some light drawing.
When you look at when you look at your own art, you see the imperfections. That's all you can see in many cases. It takes. In the same way, when you look at someone else's artwork, you don't see that.
You could see what you intended.
Yeah.
And your intention is never
exactly.
You know, what you came up with.
Exactly.
You know, so but you only see the finished thing with the other person.
Exactly.
So clearly that's what they intended. And it just sprung like from Zeus's head onto the page. those lucky fuckers. Oh,
they're so talented. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like magic. Fuck them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or maybe they have a facility at doing something that you'd like to do that you're not as good at.
I've known enough people who have done well that I've seen where it goes to.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen, you know, the incredible success. And then, okay. And then it goes back to being a job.
Yeah.
You know, and then they keep doing the job.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes maybe it goes up again. But more often than not, it's like, you're just doing the job.
You had your fun.
You had your peak of like, you know, where you were the hot thing.
I think that's me basically right now.
Oh, Nina.
Why you?
Don't
probably
say
right.
that.
So the point, but there's the thing. You'd be drawing anyway, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if success or not, you know, you're still
and again,
drawing.
Like when I became discovered and got successful or whatever, it's not like I changed anything I did at all.
Well, you started wearing that tiara. It says number one on it.
Yeah. Then people were like, "Oh, she's number one. We better hire her."
I know.
It works.
The week before, she was hi.
But no, like that was the weirdest thing.
She speaks English. She doesn't seem to speak English.
But no, that was the oddest thing about that whole incident. It's not like I was doing anything different. It's not like I'm like, all right, I'm going to try this new thing. And all of a sudden I became successful. It's just that I was doing the exact same thing as before. And all of a sudden some higher ups noticed. And then all of a sudden everyone knew my
And you became a good
art.
Story because it was like, they discovered this person online. And look at her. She had this amazing thing. And look at that. It's a good story. And there's an angle. It was like me and James, we did the first Simpsons Go to Canada thing. And we were in every fucking paper. We were in every paper
That's
in
right.
Canada.
Yeah.
And it was like on CBC Radio. And we were getting woken up for interviews. And we were going down to CBC TV at 5 in the morning. We're on News World. And we're doing all this shit. And it's like all these things. And then who fucking cares?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then it goes and it, you know, it doesn't matter. Then you go back to work.
But I'm okay with that too. Like, all that attention was overwhelming.
Yeah.
It was only for a short while, but I can't imagine.
It will always be for a short while.
Yeah.
And then it'll go like, poof.
I can't imagine always having media eyes on me. Like,
but no
one
does. Like, I always look at who's the guy from Some Like It Hot who isn't
Tony
Jack
Curtis?
Lemmon. Tony Curtis.
Okay.
Tony Curtis. There was no one more famous than Tony Curtis.
Yeah.
He was as famous as you get.
Yeah.
And then, by the end of his life, he was painting and going to the grocery store and walking around his neighborhood.
Yeah.
And, you know, he could do all the shit that he would normally, and people would sometimes go, "Are you Tony Curtis?" Yeah. Oh, good on you, Tony Curtis. But he just keep doing his Tony Curtis shit.
Yeah.
So it goes away. The only people that maintain it and keep it at that high level have to keep doing shit constantly.
Yeah.
You have to, like, all of a sudden be Kanye.
It's a lot of hard work.
And do something big. And then, otherwise, You know, you're Coolio and just, you know, put a hat on and walk down the street. You're fucking fine. Everything's all right.
Hide your hair and people won't know who you are.
Your hair probably doesn't look like that anymore. You're fucking fine. Put on a couple of pounds and you're fucking fine. Off you go. No one has to have that degree of fame forever.
Yeah.
You know, I look at Matt Groening, our boss, bless him, holiest and the highest. But I look at Matt Groening and just go like, well, change your glasses, shave your beard, and, you know, no one will know who you are. But you have that look, that distinctive look. And when you see it, it's like, oh, that's Matt Groening because he looks exactly like Matt Groening. But if you just change a little bit of this and that, you'd have all the privacy you want. But it's just like, yeah, you take the fame that you want. It's fine.
Speaking of incredible fame, I just want to thank one of our listeners, Lane, for posting my Adventures of Tauntaun title card cover to something on Twitter that resulted in like a lot of retweets and likes. And
cool.
That was very nice of you. Thank you, Lane. I appreciate that. It was like far beyond my usual one or two people going, pretty good. So it was nice.
Yep, quiet nods of the head.
And it was weird because I don't do Twitter a lot. So I turned it on and it was like 27 notifications. And it was like all these people, so-and-so liked, so-and-so retweeted, so-and-so. And I was like, wow. Attention!
That is fun when that happens.
Let me rub my fingers together.
That only kind of happens to me. There's a couple of things that trigger things, and then it goes. One is if Brent Butt retweets my stuff.
Okay.
Or Colin Mockery retweets my stuff.
Okay.
Then it goes, or Ed Brubaker, and then it's all of a sudden everything all folds up.
Yeah, nice.
Or if I say something that's a little anti-Trump, sometimes I get a lot of eggs commenting on my stuff immediately.
A lot of eggs? Angry eggs?
A lot of angry eggs.
Yeah.
That's right. And I think that's where the angry birds come from.
From those angry eggs.
Yeah, they start off just tweeting, and then they go for that. Oh, I wish we could talk about, like, Nina's just left for a second.
Yeah.
I wish we could, like, talk about the Star Wars thing while she's gone.
Well, what do you want to say? Quickly say the thing you want to say about Force Whitaker's character.
Okay, here's what it is.
Okay.
All right, and this is just a quick spoiler. Go ahead 5 minutes and it's fine. All right, so you get the Force Whitaker character, and he actually tortures someone for information, fucking up his mind.
Oops.
Okay, so in my mind, what I liked was you saw both, well, if it's the kind of movie where you want to be realistic, there is no purely good side, purely bad side. He does exactly what Darth Vader does to Han Solo.
Yeah.
You know, and you go like, well, this guy's a good guy, and we're calling him a good guy because we assume he's a good guy, but he's using the same methods, equally horrific, that the bad guys use.
Let me just say, we saw the pilot do that too in a sequence where he killed someone without cause, and, you know, who's apparently an ally, and just gets rid of them because they're
efficiency.
They're in his way, and they're going to...
The good guys do stuff that the bad guys do, and so, you know, which, you know, you might go, that's good, and that's a nice realistic movie thing, or you might go, it kind of ruins what Star Wars is, where you actually do have good and evil, and what do you prefer? Do you prefer to have, you know, kind of an allegory, but what, you know,
but can I just say,
a moral tale, or do you want to have gritty realism?
But you can have both. I mean, you can have the reason you need that moral tale. The reason you need that something loses its way because it's not seeing, it's lost sight of its goal, of its objectives. It's just wrapped up in the process, and it's lost sight of what it is.
I guess we have,
and you need something to.
Especially nowadays, though, it feels like, you know, when you've got someone who is trying to bring back torture, you know, it feels like a movie represents the times that it's in,
it does,
and it's an interesting discussion.
Sometimes it does.
But Nina's back, so we should shut the hell up. Go ahead.
And it's a weird thing when something that was once mythical becomes political.
There you are.
But anyway.
Anyway, we really saved the show when you were
gone. I leave for 2 minutes, and you're already talking about Star Wars again.
we don't want to spoil things for you, so we talked about it quick and just spoil it for the audience.
Yeah, we just want to spoil it for everyone else.
And we're back, and we should probably be wrapping up fairly soon,
because,
you know, you need to rest and be healthy.
You seem like you're falling asleep.
Is there anything that you want to...
I know, I'm just joking.
Anything you want to plug that you've got coming up that you would like people to go to and see or read? Or what book, by the way, were you signing in Japan?
Oh, it's a book called Game no Naka ni Haichatta, which literally means I ended up inside a video game. They like literal titles over there.
Mm-hmm.
Like Frozen was just called Anna and the Snow Queen in Japan.
And the redundant snowman.
The snowman that served no purpose. That was his name.
The snowman's name was Saul Guerrera?
What?
Rogue One reference, everyone.
Forrest Whitaker's character.
What? One or two of us got it out there, right, audience? We all laughed together, didn't we?
We all watched that eventually.
We all smirked together.
It's about a little girl that gets sucked into a video game, and then she goes through the game, like, and beats it. And yeah, it's just a children's storybook, and it's gonna be released in English eventually. I can't reveal any more details okay. than that, but I will translate it into English. So it'll be available eventually if anyone's interested in checking that out. Yeah, that's what I went to Japan for, was to do the signing for that book. It came out July 31st. And I think, did I talk about it last time?
Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
Just a tiny bit,
I
guess.
I never listened to the show.
Oh, okay.
I have to listen to them twice.
Yeah, I didn't think I'd be back on the show so soon, but you know what happened.
But again, you fall asleep, you snooze, you're on the show. That's the way it goes.
Or someone knocks you out and kidnaps you and takes you here.
And off here. All right, so you got that coming up. We've got a project we're working on for
I still don't know, like, what are we allowed to say about that?
I don't know either, but I know we can say that it's for Scholastic's graphics line.
Okay.
And it's coming out in 2018, early.
That's what I'm really busy working on right now, actually. And it's going well, though. I guess you haven't really seen much of it, have you?
Nope.
Like, I showed you the sketches that I did.
Yeah, and it's penciled sketches. It looks gorgeous to me, and I'm prejudiced on that. But, like, and it's interesting seeing you showed me, like, the original art that you did, like, at the very beginning.
Yeah.
And
oh, yeah.
How your style had changed so much, like,
yeah, because in the very beginning, to as part of the pitch, well, like, the editor pitching it to the rest of Scholastic, we got to submit, like, what, like, 3 inked pages?
Yeah, maybe? Something like that.
And then, like, the colored versions of the pages.
Roughs and, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then, well, that was, like, near the, you know, beginning phases of the project where I had adopted this
whole outline, yeah.
Yeah, I had adopted this entirely new style that I developed for this project alone. And so I wasn't used to drawing the characters. So when I started actually inking the comic, I wanted to redo those pages. And then when you compare them, they're just like, they're just way better than ones I've done now, because I'm so much more comfortable with drawing the characters now. And I've properly established that style that I'm using. And I'm pretty happy with how it came out. I mean, it's funny how, like, I don't know, I've always felt like I'm not good at drawing cats. Like, cats has been, like, my Achilles heel. And so, of course, when Ian approaches me asking, like, oh, do you want to do a comic all about cats? I'm like, okay, sure, I'll do it.
Challenge.
And they look really weird, but whatever. It's like,
no, they look really good.
I look up to Matt Groening, and his cats are really weird. Like, you look at Snowball, Snowball 2 in Simpsons Family, and you're just like, what is that thing?
It was Charles Schulz's hardest thing to draw, too, was cats.
Yeah.
Never draw cats. Oh. He brought one in a strip once, and it was Frida's cat, and it just looked, I don't think
I've ever seen him draw a cat.
Yeah, it's this the girl with the naturally curly hair. She had a cat, and it's just this limp cat.
It was a fairly common little storyline for a while.
I can't imagine what that would look like.
Oh, I will send you a clip.
But mostly, yeah, the cat is mostly off screen with Snoopy.
Oh, there's the cat that's next
what are they
door.
Doing yeah. off screen?
Oh, well, it beats Snoopy up, and then Snoopy reappears again, and he's all
yeah. It was like an off panel thing.
Yeah.
But you know, I think like the stuff you've done just looks great. Like it's so exciting. That it's just like, oh, I got to wait a year to get this out and have people see it. But I'm very excited for people to see it.
Yeah, you know? At the rate I'm drawing, inking it right now, like I have a lot of enough leeway that there are days where I can not make as much progress and I'll still be okay. Like I factor that into like my schedule as well. Like, because that's important. Like, one thing I've learned doing comics is you really got to give yourself room for breaks. Like,
oh yeah.
Otherwise, you're just going to burn yourself out and then you won't be able to draw for like 2 weeks.
Yeah. That's totally right.
Like, before I would be like, well, I have all this time. Like, sure, I can work on the weekends. I'm not doing anything on the weekends. And then you just get burnt out and then you can't do any work. So you got to pace yourself and like give your body the break it needs, or else you're not going to be able to work at all.
Yeah,
and your brain the break it needs too. It's not just your
body.
That too,
yeah.
You can't.
And I've been using computer glasses. That's been really helpful, actually.
What are computer glasses? Sorry.
It's like anti-glare glasses that you use at your computer monitor.
So like sunglasses.
You know those.
We call them sunglasses and you call them computer glasses?
I just say computer glasses.
You did say computer glasses.
Yeah.
But I think they're called sunglasses.
Well, they're anti-glare, like computer monitor glare.
Okay.
Like the blue light.
It's
good for that.
Why you got to call her on that, Dave? They're trying
different.
To get to the end of the show.
It's not for UV rays. It's different. It's for the blue like lights.
Okay.
The blue glow you get from the monitor.
Interesting.
Yeah, like, you know, you don't believe me,
everything
do you?
That you're saying. That's right. Hey, you know, the world is round. Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, it's seriously. It goes around the sun. No, it really does. It goes once a rotation a year.
I said
whatever you say. That's cool.
We all
got opinions.
I said it was interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Have you seen those like articles released by, like, I guess, Wacom about how you shouldn't use a Cintiq for more than 4 hours a day?
And or else everybody laughs.
Or else your retinas will detach.
Really?
Apparently, yeah. Because
Wow.
there's never been like a long-term study on stuff like
right.
that, because it's such a modern technology.
Yeah, right.
So they're like, yeah, you really shouldn't be using it more than 4 hours a day. Everyone's like, 4 hours.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll just tell my editor that. That's a good story. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it's good that you're wearing the magic glasses.
So where did you get these glasses from? Did you get
just
them online?
Yeah. I mean, there's a bunch of different brands.
Okay.
Oh, no, it feels like I'm doing advertisement.
Yeah. Ray-Bans, would that be one of the brands that are producing?
Some of them are like over $100. The ones I got are like $20.
Yeah, that's
by Gamma Ray. And...
Yeah.
Well, how much are your eyes worth? Over $100 is ridiculous. If your retinas are falling out, it's worth $100.
Sunglasses are very inexpensive. The problem with sunglasses,
but the ones you need.
The problem with sunglasses
they
is there's
your
one
eyes
company.
Don't fall out of your head.
There's one company that has a monopoly on sunglasses, and they have artificially jacked the price up through the roof.
On all name brand,
I can't remember the name, but they own like they own Ray-Ban, they own all these all these different lines of sunglasses. So when you go to the store to buy sunglasses, they're super expensive. They're stupidly expensive.
Did you see that picture I posted of the little slip that came with my glasses?
No.
There was a little slip saying like, "Thank you for purchasing gamma rays instead of those overpriced ones that don't work." It was really passive aggressive. I'm like, "Whoa,
that's nice."
They have a beef against the other guys.
Yeah, thanks a lot. And then there was an eye rolling.
Maybe
thing.
I should.
Like, please don't roll your eyes.
Maybe I should think about getting those too.
It's honestly been really useful. Like, yeah. I would notice that my eyes would get tired by the end, but I thought that was just like, you know, it's from staring at the monitor all day. But after wearing these ones, like, my eyes really don't get that tired.
Oh, that's cool.
And now when I stare at, like, when I take off the glasses in the end, the monitor is like too bright for me.
Yeah.
Or like, even when I haven't been staring at it for hours, I just like go, you know, wake up in the morning, I stare at the monitor, it just feels too bright, so I put on my glasses. And I'm like, wow, if that was too bright for me now, like, that was what I was staring at for hours before.
Yeah.
I must have been damaging my eyes and like looking at it up close. Because you use a Cintiq now too, right?
Yes, for coloring, for sure, yeah. And yeah, for doing preliminary drawings.
Yeah, so you should be careful too, or else your retinas will detach.
That's what...
And the nice thing about wearing those glasses is if you see something really cool...
Don't worry, I'll die from my leg wound before my glasses.
Okay, yeah. All right, let me set up this joke again.
Sorry.
All right, and here's the thing, guys.
Here's the thing.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Why did you say you were teeing up a joke?
If you're wearing your sunglasses and you see something really cool, you can just lift them up 80s style and then have Yellow's Oh Yeah play. That's a nice thing, too.
Cool.
Speakers are bolted into the sunglasses.
Yeah.
That's right. Just see a real cool car going by.
Everything plays a slow-mo.
Yeah.
Yep. Bomb, bomb. Okay, so we're wrapping the show up.
What? Why? Sounds like the police are wrapping
the show up. Because my ride's here, says the hack 80s joke. Hack 80s stand-up joke. Everyone laughs in the club. It's
all right, Nina.
To them.
Nina, you got to wrap the show up.
Thanks for abducting me and bringing me here so I can host the show.
Oh, you're welcome. Yeah. You're welcome.
I've been Nina Matsumoto.
Wait, how can people contact
Stockholm
us?
Stockholm syndrome really kicked in real good.
How can people contact us, Nina?
Yeah. Well, first of all, there's a lot of shenanigans going on.
Oh, what is it? It's a parade. For some reason, a police car is going to arrest an ambulance. If you guess police car and or ambulance,
someone might be having a cardiac arrest.
Ooh.
I'm sorry. I hope they're not. I hope everyone's okay.
Hospital humor.
Hey, Nina. I would say, I'm just going to give you a little advice here, is maybe sneakydragon.com is a good place to go to check our message
tell
boards.
If you're listening to this right now, you're probably at sneakydragon.com or listening iTunes.
You're on iTunes or whatever. But yeah, sneakydragon.com is where you could like leave a message for us or check out some of Dave's art or maybe some clips or something that we put up connected with what we're talking about. Yeah. Also, have you ever been on Facebook?
Once or twice in my life.
Okay, well, we got a Sneaky Dragon thing on Facebook. Dave never looks at it.
I do.
You probably never look at it. No one looks at it, but it's there, and there's extra things there. You might go on Twitter. That is, we're at Sneaky_Dragon.
Yes.
You're a Twitter star. Everything you put up has at least like 70 people going, woo!
I've been getting a lot of likes and retweets lately.
Yeah, well, you put up a lot of cool stuff.
We're guaranteed one or two likes when we put stuff up.
Yeah.
Well, my Twitter life has been great, guys. How about you?
Oh, boy, I tell you. But I'm happy for you.
Aww.
I'm happy you got all the tweets.
And you can also email us at SneakyD.
At
SneakyDragon.com.
SneakyD at SneakyDragon.com. Also, we're on Tumblr, SneakyDragon.tumblr. We are not on Instagram yet. Maybe one day we will. Maybe we'll be on ViewMaster VR soon.
Mm.
We'll get on that. We bought one of those. That's pretty fun.
Are you on Tinder?
We're two married gentlemen.
Yes.
So,
of course we are. Yes.
But under different names.
Yes. My name on Tinder is, look me up, I'm Ashley Madison.
That's right. And I'm Ralph Redundant. I got absolutely nothing.
Dolly Madison. Okay.
What about Grindr?
Dolly Madison.
We'll talk about that later.
Sure, okay. You know what? There's got to be something worse than Grindr that people just don't talk about. And so they talk about Grindr as a distraction for the thing that's actually...
Why is Grindr bad?
What's that?
Why is it bad?
No, it's the one that's the jokey one that everyone's
I see.
Anonymous hookups. But there's got to be the kind of one that guys like Mike Pence go on, right? That, like, it's the real secret dark web one. And it's just like, but let's just joke about Grindr. It's like, that's the worst thing to be. It's that crazy.
That one's called Blinder.
Okay, no, we're not even...
Because
no.
They wear them.
Okay, so Nina, just wrap up the show and we'll get out of here. We'll get out of here. Let's just get out of here.
Thanks for listening. Bye.
This episode leads directly into Star Wars 3.
What's that? The new dragon?
Yeah, the new dragon.